Yes. I said yes.
Go on.
Hello, everybody. This is WTF at TFW, and I am Vangelis, your host, and I'm joined today by Gog Dog. Goggle Doggle, Goggle Dog. And I'm also joined today by Seth Buzzard.
Yo, what up?
So we're operating on battery power today, ladies and gentlemen. So
battery backup reserves. Engage.
Go!
Engage.
Stealth force engage.
Battery force engage.
I haven't played that game yet. But,
lithium ion engaged.
I have.
Oh, ask you about that, I'm guessing, later on when you talk about having that game.
Okay.
So we are a Transformers podcast. We'd like to talk to you today about Transformers, and we're going to open up with some of the history of Transformers, because Jim Shooter, which is a pretty damn cool name, talked about the secret origin of Transformers in two parts on his blog on jimshooter.com. So I've been skimming over this for some interesting tidbits of info. Have either of you guys had a chance to look at this yet, or should I just have a go at it?
No, I read it.
Oh, sweet.
I read both parts. Yeah.
No, I didn't have time.
Oh, that's
all right. We're starting recording almost 2 hours late.
That's all right, because I can summarize some of my favorite parts right now.
Okay, do it.
Number one being that the Transformers toys were very likely going to be called something known as the Mysterions, released by Knickerbocker Toys. And they had I think it was DC did the first comic, which apparently was horrible. There were no actual characters. It was complete chaos. It was very dark and violent. And apparently there were a whole lot of hells and damns in the dialogue, as well as a couple of bastards. And there was no way to tell who was good or bad, just that all the robots were fighting each other. So that was the DC comic that could have been the Mysterions, which could have been Transformers. And apparently Knickerbocker had paid top dollar for that comic book. So, then they went to Marvel, where Jim Shooter was, and, that was the part where I kind of skimmed by things, but basically Knickerbocker
they're like, yo, man, we were just over at DC,
and they're nuts.
Dude. can you do something with this?
'Cause DC is crazy. So, basically, Hasbro acquired Knickerbocker, which shook the whole thing up and led to what we know now as Transformers rather than the Mysterions. So that was a lot of the crux of part one. He also specified that the names Transformers, Autobots, and Decepticons came from Hasbro. And then that was about it for part one. Gog, was there anything else in part one of this blog that was...
Well, didn't he say that the Mysterions were actually going to be based off of a different line?
Were they?
Because I thought he made the comment about saying that the toys that were originally going to be the Mysterions were nowhere near the quality of the toys that eventually became the Transformers.
I guess.
I was under the impression that it was two different lines.
That's the case where I'd almost want to see pictures just to make sure that he wasn't talking about like earlier Diaclone things that didn't really look like cars.
Well, where did Hasbro come in if it was going to be this Knickerbocker company?
Hasbro bought Knickerbocker, and I'm guessing all their assets.
Maybe they were going to use a lower quality construction on them, like maybe take out the die cast or cheaper plastic, like kind of dumb everything down, like fewer paint apps or early Transformers didn't really have much in the way of paint apps, but stickers or...
Can you imagine a world where we were going to be fans of the Transformer Mysterions by Knickerbocker?
We probably wouldn't be, if it was as horrible as it sounds.
Damn hell, that bastard robot! I'll fight him, damn it, and send him straight to hell, the bastard!
It would all be GoBots.
I could have written that. Man, we wouldn't just be GoBot fans, we'd be GoBots, literally. We'd be cybernetic people from another planet who turn into robots that turn into things. But yeah, the anecdote about the older toys makes me really wish that there were pictures I could reference to know exactly what he meant. And then in part two of the blog entries, there was this is one also that I didn't have a chance to read in detail, but I caught a few little things. Like apparently there was what was it? There was this guy, David DePatie, who was, what was he? He was part of, there was a strange relationship between Marvel Productions and Marvel Comics. So this guy,
the guy in charge of Marvel Productions hated comic books and didn't want Spider-Man to be anywhere near part of the Marvel Productions logo because he hated comics. But they were Marvel Productions.
Yeah.
And then the woman who replaced him loved the comic people, or didn't replace him, but she was kind of put over him, embraced the comics, made Spider-Man their logo again, and then actually had a life-size Spider-Man installed on the side of the building so that it looked like Spider-Man was crawling up their building, much to the chagrin of this other dude. That was a very funny story.
And I also
What were they trying to do if the dude was like, nothing with the comics?
I don't know. I'm guessing that, because I forgot, I remember back then, was it Marvel Productions, were they like in charge of all the non-comic media? Like, were they the ones who were doing cartoons and whatnot? I can't quite remember myself.
Well, then that ties into the comics. Everything ties into the comics if you're working
at Marvel. To work for a company owned by to work for Marvel Productions, which is, I would think, at worst, a partner of Marvel Comics, to then not like comic books and want to call your company Productions is kind of dumb. I don't know.
That or it's just like Bill Bixby, Incredible Hulk, and nothing else.
Yeah.
David Banner, get the F out.
Apparently there was a meeting that this lady Margaret had organized, including this DePatie guy and a bunch of these comic dudes, and apparently DePatie walked in and it just exploded about how ugly, amateurish, and unreadable and stupid comics were. Nothing useful in them. And then Jim Shooter said that they had created G.I. Joe and Transformers, and then DePatie said, "No, you didn't!" And so Jim Shooter pulled out his Transformers treatment and said that he wrote that. DePatie said, "You're a liar!" and said that Sunbow had written that treatment and then stormed out of the room.
Yeah.
Which I think is really funny. That like I love that he pulls out the treatment going like, "I wrote this." And then DePatie's just like, "No!" Just knocks his chair over, tears streaming down his face. Sunbow did all
I
that!
I refuse that anything good can come out of your brain!
Like, it just sounds like this dude was in the wrong line of work.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
That was the tone of the entire article. Granted, it's written from Shooter's perspective, but hilarious nonetheless.
Even if you think about this in a toned-down way, just for a guy to come into this meeting, just a meeting designed for everyone to work better, just to scream at all the comic writers and then leave, is kind of funny, because you're like, wow, I wonder what this guy's plan was.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to the Knickerbocker thing, though, it sounds, because he basically said that the whole Mysterion thing had basically become what is known in the industry as a turnaround,
mm-hmm.
which is when a company gets acquired by another company, some of the properties or projects that they're working on that haven't been finalized basically become quote-unquote turnarounds, which is, it wasn't any of the current management's idea, so it basically gets put on hold, which is usually a permanent status. So it seemed to be a near coincidence that Knickerbocker was trying to create this transforming import toy line with their own fiction. The entire project got shelved and put into a box, never to see the light of day again, and somebody at Hasbro basically comes up with the same idea, saying, "Hey, we should do this," and Jim Shooter is like, Yeah, totally. Didn't tell anyone at Hasbro that he had already done this for Knickerbocker, who they technically owned now. Mm-hmm. And it was, but the actual quote was, let me see.
Like, yeah, we should do that.
Oh, here it is.
But let's not do it with DC, because
they're nuts.
Yeah. Well, okay, here it is. Some months later, the Hasbro exec who was Marvel's main contact, Bob Prupus, came to my office. He pulled a few toys out of his bag and proceeded to open and fold them into robots. They were bigger and much more complex than the Mysterions. Different Japanese technology, same general idea.
Okay,
so it seemed to be a different line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I love hearing these like anecdotes from back then. I just always wish someone had taken a picture of what those toys were, just so I could try to piece together the, like, were they Godaikins? Were they Bandai toys? Were they some other Microman or Diaclone thing? Like, I don't know. I'm sure that can all be backtraced as to what those things actually were. somehow, but it's kind of cool to me.
And then consequences will never be the same.
Damn those bastards to hell.
Maybe they were the GoBots.
Could have been. Can you imagine if GoBots had a comic book like that where they were all just swearing at each other?
And... weren't the GoBots imported by Tonka before Hasbro got the Diet Clone stuff?
Yeah, GoBots, I believe, I can't remember what the timeline was, but I know it was at least by a couple months Tonka had brought over Machine Robo.
Yeah, and they said that it was bigger, and most of the Machine Robo stuff was much smaller than the Diet Clone. It's very possible that Knickerbocker may have tried to import the Machine Robo stuff. It fell through, and Tonka scooped it up.
That's a good chance, yeah. I mean, that would make sense. That would put the whole faux... feud between GoBots and Transformers back even farther than anyone could have imagined.
I remember with GoBots, my school had this ski trip thing, and one of the kids brought like three GoBots with him, and I had never heard of them before. And then he had these little cars that turned into robots, and it blew my mind. I was like, this is the most amazing thing ever. And like, my dad picks me up when we came back. He's like, so how was the trip? I'm like, this kid, he had these cars that turned into robots. He's like, what about the skiing? I'm like, you don't understand. And then it seems like it was immediately afterwards, but I'm sure there was more distance or more time in between. Like started seeing the first commercials for Transformers and going like, those look way more awesome than what that dude had. So yeah, kind of that sort of thing.
Secret just, origins.
Just seconds away.
And
somebody done goofed.
And I do know that Diaclone itself had a release somewhere. I forgot if it was America or if it was in Europe, but someone had just brought it over as Diaclone or Diacron. And it didn't really do well because it had no fiction, but it's all off the top of my head.
Oh yeah, I remember this one kid in grade school whose dad went to Japan for some business trip or something and brought back a Diaclone, and it was like, in Japan, like, they're Transformers, but they're not called Transformers, and they have little dudes that ride inside, and it was like this whole freak out.
But go check Jim Shooter's blog, jimshooter.com, if you want to see this story as he wrote it. It's a really cool bit of behind-the-scenes anecdotal stuff, and I found it pretty cool to flip through on the internet. I guess I could be flipping through it were I reading it on a Kindle. So anyway, let's move into some new pick picks, because, you know, we've been planning this new pick pick section for hours now, so we're all...
sort of.
Literally.
We're really set to go. Gog, what is your new pick number one?
Oh, see, you spoiled it. I'm always taking things from the show.
You're number one because you're the first one I'm picking.
That's not what you meant.
That's what I meant. No, it's what I meant.
I have two new picks.
What?
That was supposed to be a surprise for everybody because I know they care. And you just ruined it.
I'm sorry. I'm in love with myself.
Yeah, the first one is...
Correct.
Back.
Stop it. The first one is eHobby is releasing two more encores. They are releasing Twin Cast, and they are releasing Sound Blaster. Now, I'm not really excited about that on its own. But the last time eHobby released Twincast, we got Flip Sides, which is a cool little add-on that was completely exclusive to that toy. And that figure also, as we've talked about a few times on the show, it has some really cool fiction behind it. So I'm kind of wondering if there'll be any weird eHobby exclusive pack-ins with these two.
Yeah, I kind of
never bought Twincast because I already have a Blaster and... Yeah, he's cool. I understand he's the remold with the double cassette chest, which the original Blaster was just a single. But it was always the flip sides that had me interested. And when I was able to get one from Zipdisc, it really made my day. So I'm kind of really hoping that maybe they come out with something cool that will actually entice me to get it and then actually feel lucky I didn't already buy the Twin Cast. Yeah. Or even vice versa, Sound Blaster, because I don't actually have a Sound Blaster. I've got like 3 G1 Sound Waves, and I got the Hasbro, the most recent Hasbro one that came out in 06 or 07 in the classic style packaging that had the double cassette door, which I think was the first time that was ever in blue, right?
I believe so, because the Takara Sound Blaster, I think, was the current version of the mold that was available that wouldn't require any extra funding, so they just used that.
Yeah, but even in Japan, the Sound Blaster mold has always been released in black, right?
Yep. I'm really excited for Sound Blaster as well, because, I mean, I had Twin Cast and I sold it to ZipDisc because I just don't really get excited by that toy very much. But
yeah, that's the same with me. Like, I'm not excited about these two, but the prospects of eHobby making something.
That's the thing.
Cool,
I want to know what the cassettes are, because that's the thing they haven't said yet. And I mean, maybe they'll just they could release them with whatever they were packed with back when they came out in Headmasters. That'd be fine. But knowing eHobby,
I think Twin Cast had Steel Jaw, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I saw someone posting about Steel Jaw in the thread. And I mean, whatever they packed them with, you know, is cool, because most people are more interested in Twin Cast and Sound Blaster. But since it's eHobby, I'd love to see them just do something nuts with the cassettes again and come up with some more cool original cassette ideas. Because, you know, why not? They've already done encore releases of the cassettes by themselves. There's no reason to just reuse any of those. I don't know. eHobby, go for it. Seth, you going to get any of these?
Well, I always regretted not getting the book box Sound Blaster. That's one of the very few that I don't have. And was that Twin Cast released? Was that in the book box?
No, that was released in G1 style packaging.
In fact, he was released in a Decepticon G1 box by eHobby.
All right. Well, I mean, like you guys were saying, wondering what the cassettes are going to be. I think that's going to be the deciding factor for me. It really depends on what tapes they come with. Because like GOG, I have a lot of Sound Waves at the moment. And just one in black with a red door. I wish I had the book box version, just because it's one of like 2 or 3 that I don't have. But that's just more because it would have been cool to have that entire set than actually Sound Blaster himself. So, I mean, if they come with some odd or cool or different tapes, like if Twin Cast comes with Rosanna, I'll be more interested. If they come with like some of those more rare, like the combining cassettes.
Oh,
like,
God, that would blow my mind if they put those.
Yeah, in. Then that would pretty much.
Oh, you
seal
mean like
it.
Beast Box and.
No, Slot like Noise and Zauru and the 4 Dino cassettes from Headmasters.
Oh, did they combine?
Yeah, they were 2 pairs. That
but they were they combined in pairs though, like Beast Box, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were talking about 4 that combined. I was like, what?
Fan mode.
This super tall, skinny, like, totem pole.
Totem Tron.
That would be awesome. They should do that. But, yeah, if it comes with, like, those cassettes, then, okay, totally looking into it. But, yeah, it's really going to depend on what the tapes are.
Yeah, likewise. I'll see. Hopefully they'll have a nice big ad campaign before they come out to entice folks in. GOG, did you say something about having a second picture?
The second one is I'm trying to figure out who is making this. I've seen the line ES Goken Mugen Calibur, Mugen Calibur was the original mecha that G1 Roadbuster was based off of, and they've done re-releases of that. Design in the past, actually not too long ago, I think 2 or 3 years ago, but now they're releasing a completely super deformed, fully transforming version.
The transforming part really surprised me, because these guys, Artstorm, have released at least 3 other ES Gokens. which were really poseable, and I wish I'd gotten in on them, but
they, okay, so it's released by Artstorm then?
Yeah, here's a, I just sent you a pic of the three they released before, and they're quite poseable with a lot with diecast, and they retailed for about, I want to say, 40 to 50 each.
Oh yeah, I've seen that Getter one before.
Yeah, they released these one at a time over the course of like 6 months, and I didn't notice them until I'd missed Getter one, and I was like, all right, I'm just gonna skip these. But all the pictures I saw was that, like, you see those little hinges on Getter two, like these guys seem to know how to build some cool miniaturized jointage. So I'm really excited to see how a transforming one would go.
Yeah, I wonder how expensive this is going to be too.
At least 45 or 50. I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I remember the Getters being pretty expensive. I can't remember if Quinjester has these or not. I'll have to ask him. I think he had the Getter one, but I'm not sure. Hmm. Either way, it's really cool, and the fact that it transforms makes this infinitely more interesting to me. And it's crazy because this is most of these SD figures are just SD figures. They don't transform at all. And it was weird because, like, earlier today we got a picture of a prototype of a transforming a D-style kit from Kotobukiya.
Oh, yes.
Which I've mentioned the D-style kits many times in the past because I've been eating these things up, and this is actually a Brave toy, which is interesting to a lot of our listeners because it's Brave is Takara and was kind of the successor to Transformers, at least in Japan. So to get one of the mecha from Galgaigar that totally transforms and is in super deformed is
really neat. D-Style is doing a Galgaigar kit. ES Gokin is doing this Mugen Calibur transforming figure because theirs aren't kits. So theirs are pre-built. It is really cool to see because I think D-Style kind of led the way on this a little bit in terms of having super deformed robots that could actually do stuff. Because usually when I see super deformed figures, they're very, you know, they're a lot like art toys. They're like designer vinyl toys where it's like you can swivel the waist and move the arms. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like Bandai with Defo Ride tried to do something to make them more poseable, and they were, but no one cared about Defo Ride. Nendoroids, as far as I know, don't have any jointing, but they were quite popular, so they didn't really do much to advance it either. So it's cool to see super deformed figures doing all this. Like, there's Bam Presto is doing a Bugman super deformed line that's going to be super poseable as well. And if this ES Gokin does well, I'd love to see them grab some other. Like, can you imagine an ES Gokin Valkyrie?
Yeah.
Bandai did a super deformed.
Bandai did a VF-25.
Okay.
But I've never had my hands on it, so I can't speak for it. But it looked cool, but yeah. I remember it was crazy expensive. I think maybe like $60 or more.
Something like that, yeah.
So, yeah.
Seth, do you got any interest in this little super deformed Roadbuster?
Well, the fact that it transforms makes it far more interesting, but I usually don't go in for super deformed GVs or whatever you want to call them.
Oh, man.
They're just not my style.
They're robots too, man. We don't have to talk down to them.
What if they had a chibi Veritech?
I kind of have one.
Oh.
Yeah, from way back. I've had this thing forever. I lost all of its armor pieces, though.
Aww.
And joints are super loose, and there's some paint wear and sticker peel, but I've had this thing forever. But yeah, I usually don't go in for that sort of thing. I don't got a hate on for it.
I just don't like short people.
Yeah.
they just make me uncomfortable.
My robots to have grown-up adult proportions. Not these little children's. But, no. But the fact that it transforms is cool. Mm. And that puts it a notch above. But, yeah, it's just not my thing, yo.
That's all right. I'm sure once it comes out, there will at least be plenty of videos so as people like yourself who are not interested to hold them can still ogle them from afar and see how they work.
Yeah, my little deformed Valkyrie here does transform.
Oh.
All three modes.
Is that from Toynami? Is that Toynami or is that older?
No, I got this back in the 80s.
Oh, that's... Okay, I know what that is. Yeah. That was... So I tried to find those for a couple years when I was younger. Those were some like super deformed Veritex that transformed and I think had opening cockpits.
Well, the cockpit rotates.
Right.
So on one side it's It's the black shield with the skull logo, and then you rotate it around and you see a little pilot inside.
Yeah.
But you can't take the dude out.
Aww.
I'll tweet some pictures here.
I had no idea that you had a toy like that just chilling out by your desk.
Yeah. I posted pictures of it a long time ago.
Oh.
If I'd have lost a little armor pieces, which is a bummer.
Riding on this tangent, Seth, do you have a new pick?
I got some.
Ooh.
So, let's start with this Transformers branded phone accessory thing.
What are they?
So, it looks to be one of those deals where you clip on the little battery pack kind of thing, or converter,
mm-hmm.
to your phone. Then you could do that wireless recharging. So you just put your electronic device on this pad, and it recharges.
I always had a question about that. 'Cause
I really love the concept of it.
Yeah, but
except for having to attach a thing to your device for it to work.
Exactly, because whenever I see these at Best Buy or Future Shop, I'm like, that looks so cool and futuristic, except that you have to put a giant block on the phone for it to work. So it's just as much trouble as...
Well, hopefully a day will come where this technology becomes affordable enough to where it could just be built in.
Yeah.
And then you won't need to add something onto your phone or iPod or whatever else you want to use it on. And then, like, I've even seen some, like, concept stuff where you would have... Like, conceivably, you could have, like, an entire wall or all your walls in your house with this material.
Oh, wow.
And they showed, like, lamps, like, wall-mounted lamps that just, boom, stick onto the wall and turn it on, and now you got a lamp. It's like, I don't need a lamp in this room. Instead of turning the lights off when you leave the room, you just take the lamp with you from room to room.
If you want
to
turn off your lights, you just start swatting all the lamps off the wall.
Yeah, I told you to flap.
You had nothing to do with Transformers. It's smacking all the yeah. When do we get really to live in that future?
I don't know. It's going to be a little while.
Oh.
But it's a really cool technology. And like this kind of looks cool. Like this Transformer branded set. It folds up, so you have like three positions and the two outer thirds. One has an Autobot, the other has the Decepticon logo, and the one in the middle, I think, just says Transformers on it.
Hmm.
And then it folds up and fits into a little box or what have you. But, I mean, it's a really cool technology. If my iPhone just had this converter in it, it looks like it would be a cool thing to have on your desk, but I don't want to stick a thing onto my phone so I could recharge it without plugging it in.
Yeah. That's where I've always been.
That's not that difficult.
Well, it's like when you compare it, right? All right, plug wire into phone, plug wire into wall, or lay out giant pad and then put case around phone. It's kind of like the same amount of actions. It's just that one of them looks a lot more futuristic than the other.
Well, and like the way I plug my stuff in at the end of my business day is... I'm recharging both my phone and my iPod off my computer because that's where iTunes is, so I could sync them all the time. I very rarely plug it like straight into a wall, but like with a like if I wasn't downloading podcasts all day and I just like had an iPod with like a set thing of music on where I didn't need to sync it unless I bought a new record. Like having it built into a drawer or something would be cool. Like open a drawer, throw all your portable devices in there. Yeah, and then they're in there recharging and overheating and blowing up and burning your house down.
Awesome. The future. Excellent.
The convenience to burn your house down.
All sorts of new ways to detonate lithium ion batteries. That's what we're aiming for. Yeah. Oh, that stuff, you know, I like branded things. I guess this whole sojourn into designer toys has made me more open to the idea of, like,
Branding,
yeah. It's made me a lot more of a hipster. I don't know. So, dude, I'm not gonna make any judgments here, and I'm not trying to say you're the kind of person to do this, but do you also maybe have a second picture that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, let's talk about another thing.
Oh man, it's unprecedented.
It's such a
unprecedented. Light. You don't spoil his.
Yeah. Once it's such a light news day, let's turn this thing off real quick. Okay, never mind. I was just wasting some. Speaking of batteries on phones, I was wasting some phone battery there.
Oh.
But I solved that problem, didn't I? Hell yeah.
Threw my phone at the wall.
And it stuck, and it recharged.
My light
because
turned
it's
on.
The future! But anyway, so Burger King is going to have the Dark of the Moon toys. How do you like them apples?
And
Mr. Apple Pants.
I saw that P.A.W.'s already got a video up for a couple of them. I haven't looked at it yet.
And they're all titled Flip Out.
Whoa!
So you have Flip Out Optimus Prime, Flip Out Megatron, and Flipping Out Bumblebee. Whoa! And Flip Out Starscream, Flip Out Ironhide, and Flip Out Shockwave.
Tell me about it.
You also have Flip Out Soundwave and Flip Out Ratchet. Oh! So these look kind of super deformed.
That sounded like a real life reenactment of Angry Birds.
Whatever then. Man, my favorite Angry Bird noise, because now you set that off, is the boomerang birds. When you activate its boomerang, and it goes, bah! That's my favorite sound in that game.
You know, the saddest thing in the world is a boomerang bird that hits something right before you were going to set off its thing, so its beak just bends and it looks all disappointed. It just falls
I think the
down.
Saddest thing is any bird that hits something before you activate
it. Yeah, because it just kind of goes like, ah!
It just kind of plops dead to the ground without accomplishing anything.
Yeah, like I'm trying to shoot an egg-bombing bird, like right... Like, I want to get it. I want to get it close to where I want the egg to hit. And I want to activate it, like, right before it hits this big, tall stack of bricks. So when it shoots up after letting go of the egg, it's going to hit that stack and knock
Hell
it
yeah.
back down. And I'll be like, I'll wait just a little bit too long. And it hits before I have a time to drop the egg. And that's a bummer.
It just looks so, like, unexciting. When it just goes like, ugh! It just falls to the floor. And then, like, one block gets nudged.
So, anyway, back to the topic.
Burger King.
So, I guess they make noises when you press a button on them.
Yeah.
But how is that flipping out?
The Shockwave one apparently projects a Decepticon insignia out of his face.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
And isn't he the one in the picture who's just got, like, the one big red eye in the middle? Because I kind of want that one.
Yeah, and he's not very purple.
No, he's really
at least not in this picture. He's kind of an off-white, kind of a eggshell white.
Still really want that Shockwave.
Okay, so it folds up into the head. So I guess that's how it flips out.
Okay.
But then it also has... Okay, yeah, so Optimus Prime says Autobots roll out. Megatron makes a sound. let's see. Okay, well, Bumblebee.
Hey, how do you like that? A meteor hit my house. Anyway, we're back. Seth, we were talking about Burger King.
Yeah. So I was just running down what all the little figures do. Now, in the news report there on the TFW front page, it kind of indicates that they all fold up into their big, huge heads.
Yes.
But then that seems to be the only thing that Bumblebee does. So maybe he's just spring-loaded and everybody else you manually manipulate.
Well, I'd found a diagram of how the whole thing works, which was
It looks like there's a hinge on the top of their heads.
Yeah, well, I'd gone looking just because I was like, how does this work? And then I found this diagram that I'm trying to share with you guys now, which is basically that it is just like that. The head slides open along a hinge on the ears, and the body folds it.
Well, that's cool because your message just came through on my computer that's not supposed to be working.
Oh, man.
That's amazing.
Well,
and yeah, it looks like my internet works now.
All right, so you want to just do a lead-in again?
Sure.
All right.
Well, just, when you were saying like, here, I'm going to send you guys the link, I was thinking like, that's useless for me, and then it goes beep.
Well, you can technically look at it. You just have to take your phone away from your head. But.
I just problem solved the internet. Oh man, Seth is back on his mother machine, and this is his favorite episode that we've ever recorded. So. Let's keep talking about those Burger King robots.
Okay, so we were just sort of running down what they all do. And on one of our attempts to record this segment, I noted that the description was, like as it's reported on TFW2005.com's front page, is that the bodies fold up into the big, huge heads. But when you look at all of their gimmicks, Bumblebee's gimmick is that his head splits open to reveal the body. And then Vangelis had sent a link to all of us that shows a diagram of how the body comes out of the head. And in this diagram, it just looks like it folds straight down. So I'm thinking Bumblebee's must be spring-loaded, where these you just manually sort of unfold them.
Yeah.
But then it looks like the body... It doesn't, like, go all the way up into the head. Like, maybe it just folds kind of in half and fills up the space under the head. Because all the other ones have some sort of electronics. So I would assume, especially the ones that project light, like, their heads must be filled up with the electronics.
Doohickeys and whatnot.
If he's, like, a Shockwave and an Ironhide both project their faction symbols. Soundwave, though, Soundwave just glows in the dark.
I kind of like
that. So that, yeah, but he seems like probably the least expensive one to produce then, unless glow-in-the-dark plastic is really expensive.
going by what I've ascertained from various designer toys, I don't
think... Ratchet glows in the dark, too.
That's just weird. Why would he do that?
He's a copycat.
He's smelling pheromones.
Yeah. Pheromones in the dark.
Pheromones in the dark is the name of my hit single.
That's the name of my emo band.
Yeah, these Burger King toys look neat. I mean they look neat. They look exactly like the kind of thing that I would not mind getting with a Double Down. Double Down? That's the wrong place. Double Baconator.
Yeah, that's Kiss.
That's, I don't know, talk about me. Yeah, I had a Double Down. There's a local comedian who has a joke about a Double Down that always ends halfway through when it's finished. He says eating a Double Down is like getting a blowjob, and I always forget the rest of the joke. But there's something in there. But yeah, I like Double Baconators. They're horrible for me, but when I take a really long walk and I walk by... Wait, that's Wendy's. Burger King doesn't have anything. Never mind. My interest in these has just plummeted.
I don't know if they still have it. They had that Angus burger with A1 steak sauce and crunchy onion things.
I like onion straws. If they still have that, then my interest has peaked again. I'll have to check. But Burger King seems to be running the toy side of things. I'm sure these will all be all over the BotCon dealer room next year for nickels. So,
yeah, and like being just the Shockwave slut that I am, I kind of want the Shockwave, but I don't want the indignity of being an adult ordering a kid's meal.
I'm sure it will not be hard for you to find a Shockwave somewhere down the road. In fact, I'm sure someone can help you out probably this week.
By the time we get down the road, I will probably have gotten over it. And...
You're going to get messages right as soon as this recording goes up. I hope someone contacts you and says, hey, I got you a Shockwave for a mere $25. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, but then I gotta give some person my address that I don't know, and
Give them your neighbor's address and just steal their mail.
Yeah, I'll work out. That will work out.
Of course it will. I'm a master tactician. My own new pick is something that doesn't have any imagery attached to it yet, aside from a listing, but it's very exciting for me. We've just found out that there are going to be 4 more Alternity releases. Each of the 4 Alternity molds is going to get one more go at a new color scheme. We don't know if any new heads will be involved. I hope they are, because these 4 names are really exciting, but they really will require new heads, I think, to work out the best. But the Optimus Prime Alternity is going to be re-released as Die Atlas. The Megatron Alternity is going to be re-released as Galvatron. The Starscream Mitsuoka Orochi Alternity is going to be re-released as Banzaitron. And the one that was Cliff and Bumble is going to be re-released as Goldbug. So those 4 names attached to Alternity really makes me excited, and I think I'm going to get all 4 of these. It'll be a bummer if these 4 come out without any new heads, but even the color schemes will probably be enough to make me want to pick them up. Fiction-wise, I am viciously excited by the ideas of demigod versions of Diatlas, Galvatron, and Banzaitron. I want to know what the aggregate of all Banzaitrons actually means, since there have only been 3 toys ever released as Banzaitron. But I do need to pick this up, you know, for the sake of my Banzaitron collection. Are any of you guys excited by these new alternatives? Gog, are you going to be up there with the Banzaitroners, or am I all alone?
The character selection that they made is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Banzaitron and Diatlas, and it's like, that kind of came out of nowhere, but it's really neat. Is there, besides paint, is there going to be any differences on these?
Nobody knows yet. I mean, every one of those molds has had at least multiple color schemes, and the last 2, the Bumblebee, Cliffjumper, and the Seekers all had at least 2 heads. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did new heads for all 4. The Prime and the Megatron ones never had new heads, so if they don't do new heads for any of these, I'll be sad, but I won't be surprised.
Yeah.
But I'd love for them to do new heads. Especially with Galvatron, there's no way. I don't think they would release Galvatron with the Megatron bucket helmet.
Yeah, especially not the fact that they're trying to make those based after the G1 characters, because this is supposed to be like a futuristic version of Megatron, and while sure, in other series like Cybertron and Energon, like, it's just mostly just a palette swap. Like, there's no real difference there, but I don't know if that would really work with G1 Megatron, to be honest. So, I don't know. If they make a new Diatlas head and a new Banzaitron head, I cannot see myself not picking these up. That would be awesome. Yeah. So awesome. Those are the 2 that I would really be more excited for. Galvatron, maybe. That Fairlady Z in purple. If they do, like, the Skywarp purple, oh, man, would look really cool.
And the Goldbug, I was very mute on until I thought about it, and I looked at my Bumble and Cliff, and I was like, if they actually do, like, a metallic electroplated-style gold paint on that would be cool.
Well, because Bumblebee didn't have the nice sparkly finish Cliffjumper had.
He was very flat yellow.
Yeah, so if they do that in gold, again, that would be really cool, getting a Goldbug faceplate head design.
That's the one that I think would need a new head more than any other. Like, I think that one and Galvatron need the new heads the most. Just for the sake of, like...
I know what you're saying, but...
If you had to choose.
I cannot see them doing Diatlas with an Optimus head.
That too,
That's kind of not... That's kind of really trying to stretch the whole repaint thing. So, this is all really going to depend for me on whether these get new heads or not. And if they do, I don't know how I can not pick up a Diatlas, even if it's a mold that I already have. It's has Diatlas even gotten any type of official figure since his...
King Atlas.
Original?
King Atlas in Universe. Repainted Machine Wars, Starscream, I believe. Was it Starscream?
They repainted him. I would even go so far as to say that that doesn't count on principle alone.
Yeah.
Machine Lord Starscream.
It looked very Diatlas in the color scheme they chose. It's just that it was also a Machine Wars toy that, I mean, it looked very Diatlas because they were really smart with how they chose the colors, but that was, I think, the biggest stretch they could have done. So, I'm not sure. Otherwise, no, he has not gotten any new toys aside from PVCs.
Yeah, I hope they do it right, and it's cool that they're trying to give people an excuse to buy alternatives again, even if they're existing molds, but doing the whole just let's repaint it in a different color is not going to work for most of those characters, I don't think.
No.
So I really hope that they take the time to just put... It's not like it's a huge head. It's just, you know, tiny little head. You stick in that small mold and make all the difference on whether people are going to buy these or not. I really don't see people buying Prime in Diatlas colors when he's just colored like Prime and then trying to pass him off as Diatlas. I'm sure some people will because that paint job is really cool. Yeah. Diatlas's paint job... I mean, that's a pretty rad paint scheme, but with Prime's head on there, it just so we'll see. I mean, I always say all sorts of stuff, and then when it comes out, my opinions have changed. So
yeah,
but I
well, especially with Alternity. Look at the history of this podcast and Alternity.
Oh yeah,
Seth, how about you? Have you got any interest in these final four Alternities?
Well, I wasn't really taken by the molds on Bumblebee and Starscream. So, and those characters don't, well, not, I mean, I don't have that big of an attachment to any of these characters.
Mm.
Like they're all from kind of time periods where I wasn't paying attention and kind of looking back, never really invested the time into getting into.
Yeah.
So, but I love the molds for Prime and Megatron. So depending on how those come out, I may be more interested in those than whatever they do with Starscream and Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. But like when I first saw the list of characters they were going to do, I was almost kind of hoping that they were going to use Megatron for Banzaitron just because they need to have those swords. But if one of them is going to be Galvatron, I mean, you're not going to use any of those other molds to make Galvatron.
Yeah, so. I mean, the Mitsuoka Orochi with a new head, I'd argue, could sort of work for Galvatron, but only just, because it's got, the wings can kind of work in a way, like it wouldn't be G1 Galvatron, but that would be a much bigger stretch as well. So.
But then, yeah, I have trouble imagining that mole as Bondi-tron either. I mean, the way with the wings and the intakes on the shoulders... And the little guns on the arms. I mean, everything is so specifically Seeker about it. It just seems
But if like weird if they
to try to do anything with it besides another Seeker.
If they do something creative with the paint, though, like paint maybe some of the under parts of those intakes and stuff, like orange and weird green and stuff, and have him like purple and black, and they could do some clever stuff by having some of the hidden parts colored all sorts of crazy Banzaitron colors and then have that only revealed in robot mode, and it could be clever, but I'm not getting my hopes up. This could easily just be a lazy repaint.
For now, like,
let's pink us some crazy names to stick on these.
What I'm seeing now is basically I'm recalling when they tried to do this with Binaltech, and this looks like they're trying to do that again, only they're being a lot more thoughtful about making sure that people actually look at this, because when they did the Binaltech re-releases, it was like, hey, look, it's Binaltech Jazz as Jazz, but movie Jazz. And I'm like, hey, it's Binaltech Smokescreen as Smokescreen, but more blue. And it's like, all right, that I don't really care. Hey, look, it's Binaltech RC, only it doesn't look like RC in any way, shape, or form. So this is definitely, this is that idea done, I think, conceptually way better. It just depends on the execution.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it's all going to play out. Like, I want to see what they look like. I'm just not, pre-excited for getting it. Like, maybe when I see them, then that will push me over the edge. But right now, I'm more curious as to what they're going to do than I am already planning on getting it, sort of a thing.
Yeah. The main reason I'm so excited is just because I have a weird little love for Alternity, and I also desperately hope that these guys all have some fiction to go with them as well.
But if
Diatlas was already stupid overpowered to begin with.
Now
what
he's
the hell
God
is...
Diatlas.
I mean, the dude was just like slicing combiners in half, like killed Pediking in like one hit. Like, yeah. What is this dude gonna do now? Like,
cut planets in half.
I almost don't even want to know.
This, like I said, this is right up my alley.
It's something that's beyond our this is beyond our perception.
This is, and also, you like, I don't know how much you guys caught of how powerful Alternity Megatron became by the end of the Alternity story, but the idea of taking that Megatron and then Galvatronitizing him also excites me hideously, because now you'd have a psychopathic dude who can cut through time and space.
Yeah, and the only person that can defeat him is stupid overpowered Diatlas,
who has been overpowered even farther.
Yes.
I love this. I don't know, this is so up my alley.
I'm surprised Diatlas didn't come up, because we've had several listener questions about people wanting to know like what crazy alternate character would you come up with, and I'm almost kind of surprised Diatlas didn't come up, because he's already stupid overpowered to begin with, and giving him alternative powers is ridiculous. And apparently someone at Tomy realizes that, and I don't know. It's
hell
really
yeah.
funny.
You got brothers out there in Takara Tomy. That's all I'm going to say. anyway, that's our very brief new pick section. I think maybe this is a good time for us to jump straight into some what we got this week. Unless I forgot something in the topic list, which I didn't. So, Seth, tell me all about what you got this week.
So we're going to do Transformer-related stuff and off-topic separately, as we've been doing, right?
Oh, yeah, with our very subtle change in format, yes.
Yes. So with that in mind, I only got one Transformer toy, and that was a Blur. Finally Ooh. Found Blur. I went to two Toys R Us's on Sunday, and my main mission was something off-topic related, so we'll get to that later. But I was also looking for, you know, all that good Transformer goodness. And so the Santa Rosa Toys R Us is where I started. And, man, they got a lot of Skullgrins there still.
Oh, poor Skullgrin.
They sure got a lot of Skullgrins.
I see lots of them now, too.
Yeah, now they have, like, the big Dark of the Moon display at the front of the store. And it was, like, they had tons of deluxes. All of them were Wave 1.
Yep.
Real kind of a bummer. Like, they didn't even have Wave 2, and I've seen Wave 2 other places. But whatever. So then I go digging through the piles of deluxes they have. What's the helicopter called? Skyhammer?
Yes.
So they had like 3 or 4 Skyhammers and at least 20 Optimus Primes. And that was it.
Wow.
That was all the Voyagers. No Shockwave, no Megatron. So that was a bummer. Then we go to the San Rafael Toys R Us. Another big front of store display for Dark of the Moon. The Lux is all Wave 1. So then I start digging through the... or I look down on the lower shelf where they have the Voyagers, and there's 2 Shockwaves right in front. I'm like, that's a good sign. I already have Shockwave, but, you know, this is a good sign. I start digging through a couple Skyhammers. All the rest of them are Optimus Primes.
That reminds me of the Target in Pasadena that was all Optimus Primes, or the Target in Seattle that was all Optimus Primes. I think people are tired of that Optimus Prime character. I don't know, though.
Yeah, and there's clearly too many of them in a case. However many are in a case is clearly too many. If there's only 1 per case, they gotta get that down to like a chase figure. 1 in every 5 cases. Something. This is a bummer. But then, while in San Rafael, then I go back to where the Transformers normally are, and they have a bunch of classic Reveal the Shield, whatever Blur's specific patch. Packaging was, and I start flipping through there, and I'm like, hey, look at all the Skullgrins. And then there was a Blur kind of in the back, and I was like, oh my god, I've never seen Blur on a shelf before. So I guess I'm getting Blur.
Awesome.
So, I mean, for such an older figure, I don't know how much I need to talk about the figure itself. I mean, if you probably have Blur already, dear listener, And if you don't, then you probably have Drift already. And it's kind of like Drift, but different. So,
how are the paint apps on your Blur? Because he has had a bit of a spotty record with paint.
I mean, it looks okay.
All right, that's
good. I mean, I haven't spent a hell of a lot of time with them, but time I have spent, I mean, it seems all right. Nothing really stood out as a problem.
Don't ask people what the problems are, because whenever I do, then they point out, oh, and yours has all these problems, and I never saw the problems until they said something. Then those bastards.
Then the only other Transformer-related thing I got was the Dark of the Moon video game.
Hey! So which one? Which console?
The Xbox 360.
That's a whole turn.
So there was some weirdness going on with its release.
Uh-oh.
Like, I guess originally it was supposed to come out last Tuesday, and then so was Duke Nukem Forever and Child of Eden, and I guess Activision got cold feet and delayed it.
That's because the Duke's the big man on campus.
Yeah. Hey, robot, show me your boobs.
Press X to slap your boobs. So wrong, yet so right.
Sorry. I'm done with that. I'll drop it.
I was curious to play Duke just to see what it was going to be. And then I watched the Giant Bomb Quick Look. I don't feel like I need to play that anymore.
How did you like the intermission last week? Because I wanted to point something out in this recording. I pulled that intermission specifically because of that quick look. So I went looking on YouTube and I looked for Duke Nukem Slap Boob, and I found that. And so I know what the visual was, but then when I played back just the audio on its own after I put it into the podcast, I was like, this, without the visuals, this actually sounds 100 times more terrible than what's happening.
It sounds
horrible. A rape
video or something.
It sounds like Duke is, yeah.
Because the woman's voice is crying and wailing. And it's not good.
No, and then you hear this constant wet crunch, and then he's like, and then women are like, ah, and then some of them start vomiting, and then.
Got milk?
Oh, God, that was horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. That was a nightmare. So anyway, Activision jumped out of the Duke's way.
As they should have.
And so the game was delayed, like, everywhere until that Friday, except for GameStop. So, and then GameStop bought out EB. And then they, like, wiped out EB in America. Like, all the EBs turned into GameStops. As far as I know, they all did. Maybe there's a couple EB still floating around. But it's still EB up in Canada, right?
Yep.
So, EB in Canada delayed until Friday. Because Proto Man was complaining about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he tried to get on Tuesday, but couldn't at EB. But, so I go to the GameStop, I'm like, hey, man, do you got this game? Because they didn't even have it on the shelf. Like, hey, you got this Transformer movie game? Like, yep, we sure do. I'm like, that's weird because nobody else does. He goes, yep, well, we got them in yesterday, and then we got an email this morning saying, just sell them.
Wow.
I'm like, and what's so weird is apparently they're not in Canada at EB, and the two guys behind the counter just went, yeah, I don't even know what's going on. They're like, dude, we were told we could sell them, so we're clear.
Because as far as I know, you're the only person on my Twitter who actually got it on the quote-unquote release date, because then you were like, when you said you got it, I was like, are you serious? Because everyone just told me all day that they couldn't get it.
Yeah. Like, I know Aaron tried to get it at Best Buy. And
they tried to sell him Duke
Nukem.
He
tweeted something like, well, I won't, if you don't want my money, then
He told us last week that when he went to try to buy Dark of the Moon, he encountered a salesman who was vehemently trying to get him to buy Duke Nukem Forever instead.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting choice when someone says they want to buy the Robits game, and you're like, no, buy Duke Nukem Forever. It's better.
They just hold it up and like, Hail to the king. Just like, come on, dude.
Robot games are for pussies.
God. And in that Giant Bomb quick look, they missed, and they show the one scene where, like, there's some other soldiers, and they miss the Gears of War reference. Like, the one soldier is going on and on about how his partner was like, oh, my wife, I gotta find my wife, I'm a pussy. It's like, that's Dom from Gears 2 that he's talking about. And they obviously couldn't miss the Halo diss, but they diss Halo right after that. And it's like, really, you guys have the balls to go after these two monster franchises with your dopey friggin' vaporware come to life game? Whatever. Anyway, so Dark and the Moon, that's a video game that actually has something to do with this topic.
Hey! How is it?
Well, I thought for sure I'd have plenty of time to get it finished before this recording. What I didn't count on is real life kind of screwing up my gaming schedule. So I'm only on chapter 4. I'm pretty sure I'm getting near the end. It's like they streamlined War for Cybertron in some ways that are good. Like, if you had trouble with ammunition in War for Cybertron, don't worry about it. You always have ammo. And then they streamlined it in some ways that maybe went a little too far. Like, there's no kind of leveling up. There's no guns to collect. Like, nobody ever drops a gun. And now you can pick up this one that's better at distance. And then, oh, I don't need that anymore, so let me pick up the shotgun kind of one. All the characters just have their fixed weapons.
I also heard that design-wise, the game felt very much like it. This is coming. This is kind of a semi-quote from Random Factor on Twitter, who was kind of saying, like, the game felt like if you took War for Cybertron's engine, pulled out everything but the skeleton, and just kind of, like, filled out a checklist of, like, here's the water level, here's the lava level, here's the thing, here's the thing that we need. Like, it felt a little bit like it was... It's not like it was, you know, your average movie game, but it did feel like it was in one of those rushed cycles of gotta get this out now.
Yeah, I mean, one of my problems with War for Cybertron is the aesthetic of Cybertron itself starts getting kind of boring, at least to me. Because everything's just kind of metal and kind of the same color with panel lines everywhere. But I think the level design is more interesting in War for Cybertron. But everything looks more interesting in Dark of the Moon.
Okay. Because
you have some very different... Like, from what I've played so far, you're in a jungle. It's more of a forest kind of area. But it's like you're in some, like, weird Eastern European back corner of Russia. So, like, there's little village houses kind of thing and abandoned buses around. Then the next level is in Detroit, which is kind of in ruins. Like, there's a huge battle been going on in Detroit. So you get these two extremely different locations, one right after the other. And then another kind of more out in the woods kind of a level. And then... level I'm on right now starts outside and then goes into this underground base. So the variety in what you're looking at keeps changing. And I find that more interesting. And that city level I thought looked great.
Oh, cool. Like, I've been avoiding a lot of coverage of the game just so that whenever I do manage to pick it up, I'll be going in very fresh. But I heard a couple little tidbits. Like, there's a pair of levels that sound really cool to me. Is like the Laserbeak level sounds like it's pretty cool, and there's a level with...
Yeah, that's what I'm playing right now.
Yeah, I've heard, like, a lot of people have said that was a highlight for them. I also heard that it's pretty fun playing as the red sports car.
Do we not want to say the name, or...?
I don't know, I can't remember
or
what the...
Or do you just not know what the car's name is?
I lost track of what its name was, but I heard what its character trait was, and that really won me over. But I don't want to spoil that on here right now, so... Leave that alone.
Well, I'm going to say what the car's name is.
All right, that's cool.
It's Mirage.
Okay.
So, I don't know if that's going to blow anybody's mind or what, but there's a red sports car, and everybody calls it Mirage.
And its character, from everything I was told, is something that I would absolutely love to play as. So I'm kind of jazzed for that.
Yeah, his level is interesting because it has like it actually has character development in it. Like Mirage at the beginning of the level and Mirage at the end of the level goes through a transition.
That's cool.
That was actually pretty interesting.
I even heard from people that, like, again, there's a couple people who I've heard from on Twitter that Mirage's level was so cool it actually made them really excited to pick up his toy whenever it comes out. And I was like, that's a really good thing to hear because I like his design already. So if that's going to make him a favorite movie character for me, then aces. I'm all into this.
Yeah, and it'll be I mean, if he gets more than, like, one line in the movie,
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how they characterize him in the movie. if it's, like, a continuation of what they did in the game, like, if how he acts in the movie is in line with how that level ends for him, or if he's more like the beginning of the level in the movie, and then it's like, well, I guess he didn't learn anything. But, yeah, and then, like, so in War for Cybertron, on each level, you had your choice of three characters to play as, and then those other two characters were always around. In Dark of the Moon, it's like, this is the character you're going to be for the level, which allows them to do some more interesting things with that character as far as dialogue goes.
Yeah.
Like, specifically with Mirage.
Exactly, yeah.
And Ironhide's level, there's a lot of talk between Ironhide and Ratchet, where they're kind of going back and forth a lot. That you probably, you kind of could have done, but like if your choice was, okay, you could do this level as Mirage or Bumblebee or Mudflap, and if you chose Mudflap, and Mirage is still having his character development, but he's always kind of like over there talking to somebody else, then that's not going to be as cool because it's not the center of attention.
Especially if you've got one of the twins just chilling out in that level.
Who are you talking to? I bet you're talking to a pussy.
What's going on over there, son? What's happening?
Yeah.
Tell me all about this. Yeah. Oh man, I'm in so much trouble.
You think you're so cool because you're a West Coast car? I don't care. I'm Mofat.
We're in so much trouble now.
But where was I? Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're always alone in every level. I mean, there's big long stretches of some levels where you are alone. And so far with the Soundwave level, you're alone the entire time. Unless you count when Laserbeak is deployed, but then you go off on your own as Laserbeak. But there's big chunks of some other levels where here comes a couple more Autobots, and now you're this guy, and these guys are helping you out. So it's not always a string of solo missions.
Yeah.
And I just listened to an interview with the game director, Sean Miller, on the Major Nelson podcast for Xbox. And not only did he get the Stealth Force tag out there a couple times, but he also managed to work a mech tech in. So he's hitting all the gimmicks. And I don't know if Hasbro's slipping him some extra money under the table for getting all those little names in there, but
hey, Stealth Force Engage.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember if they say mech tech in the game.
I heard that they say it a lot by the end, is what I heard.
Okay, because I can't remember if the level I'm on, if they're talking about Stealth Force or mech tech. But yeah, they're fitting all those toy gimmick references into the movie, and in turn the movie's game.
Did you activate your Stealth Force today, Mirage? Yes, I did, Mech Tech Ironhide. Awesome, Stealth Force Mirage.
Well, one of the other things that I started wondering is because the whole Stealth Force thing fits into using the War for Cybertron engine for how vehicles work.
Yeah.
With how your vehicle has this sort of in-between mode that could go side to side and has all the guns sticking out. And then when you turbo, then you go into the sleeker, like, actual vehicle mode or the sleeker alien vehicle mode in War for Cybertron. Now you don't have guns, but you go way faster. So it's I started wondering, like, is that just a coincidence that Stealth Force works so well on this engine that was already built? Or were they already aware of that when they were making War for Cybertron?
Ooh.
And it just fit in at the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That would be something really interesting to ask.
If we were ever to, for instance, talk to one of the dudes who worked on the game, that would be a great question to ask him.
If, let's say I were to have sent a dude that worked on that game an email, and I'm still waiting to hear back from that person.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically. It would make for a very interesting question to ask.
I agree.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, my feeling right now for the game is, it's not terrible. It's not a bad game. War for Cybertron was probably better. I haven't finished it yet, so I can't say for sure. But, you know, if you're a Transformer fan and you like video games, you'll probably enjoy yourself playing this game. But you probably don't need to get it right now. Like, you could wait until you could pick it up used or the price gets marked down or what have you. If you want to play it, go ahead and get it. If you could wait, go ahead and wait. That's my feeling at the moment.
And you'd say that if someone really enjoyed War for Cybertron, they'd probably at least enjoy playing this game to a degree in single player.
Yeah, like, if you like that control scheme and how the vehicle's handled, how the shooting worked, it's practically identical in regard. If you were like, I hated War for Cybertron, they should be like the first movie game, then you're not going to be happy.
If anyone out there is saying that they should just use the first movie game engine, I'm going to find you and I'm going to eat your goddamn lunch in front of you. Because you don't deserve that sandwich. I'm sorry. So, yeah, that's cool. I may end up falling into the waiting till it's in the $40 category camp. But we'll see. It's been an expensive summer, and the first thing I usually don't buy when I'm low on money is video games. So,
yeah, and the game is set before Dark of the Moon, and Sean Miller keeps teasing that you see how Megatron becomes what he is in Dark of the Moon during the game, but I can't imagine there's going to be anything in the game that not seeing it in the game is going to sour watching the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's going to be, I watched the movie and then I played the game afterwards and it was like, oh God, if I had only played the game first, everything would have made sense.
Damn it.
The game was the missing link to everything. Why did you do this to me, Michael Bay?
Were I not so... My hubris has destroyed me. Okay.
Kind of like with the last movie. Why is there a crashed spaceship on Saturn's moon full of baby Decepticons? I don't know. Oh, you were supposed to read the comic book. I didn't know there was a comic book.
Oh, 2009.
That's it.
No. All right. Did you get anything else Transformers-wise, or was that about it?
No, that was about it.
All right. Gog Dog, I want to know about Transformers you got this week.
I listened to 151 from 2 weeks ago. I realized that there was a couple of things I got at BotCon I completely forgot to mention.
Oh.
And I normally wouldn't have cared, but except for the fact that I got all these from Andy, a.k.a. Cobra Commander TFW. He brought me some stuff from England that I wasn't sure if I was going to get or not. He grabbed me a wind charger.
Ooh, jolly old
And he
lady.
Got me a... Legends Megatron revealed the shield. And then they had found a Andy and Nicole had found a Legend Starscream at some store in Utah, so The two that I actually wanted, Megatron and Starscream, ended up getting. So, got all of them. They're really cool. Surprisingly, my favorite out of all three. I think I mentioned this at the BotCon episode, one of them, briefly. But I really, really, really like that Legends Megatron.
Yeah.
That is a really solid little figure with a very cool transformation for how small it is. I still haven't given it to any of my Seekers or anything yet, but...
He's hard to fit in their hands. Like, I did it in a video, and I didn't show how hard it was to do, but it fits really nicely, but it fits with a very, at least on my US Masterpiece Starscream, it fits with a very specific tension, and if you bump something the wrong way, he just falls right. Like, it fits in, but you don't want to threaten that connection too much.
Yeah, I've also seen people give him to reveal the shield lug nut, so I wonder how well he can hold him. I mean, I'm sure it's probably not something crazy, but I've seen... a few pictures of that.
Oh yeah,
but so I need to give that a shot. I think my my lug nut is still in a box from moving, so I need to find him. But yeah, those three. Also at BotCon, I got a animated Rosanna colored head sketch from Marcello Mateer. So
oh cool,
that was kind of cool. So let me look at my list here. So post BotCon stuff, I got on topic four things I can mention. I got my animated Cheetor from the club.
Oh, how does it look?
You know, I do have to say, I think the head does look a little bit better in person.
That's good.
Just to be fair. You know, the club has done a lot of things over the past few weeks that I haven't necessarily been fans of, but, you know, I have to be honest here, it certainly looks better from certain angles. If you look at it directly from the front, I think it looks a lot better than it does from the side.
Okay, that's good to know. Because I mean,
yeah,
I mean, we've all been a little bit like, oh man, that Cheetor head. But I actually would like to hear that it turned out well, because I'm still getting it, and I don't want it to turn out crappy.
Yeah, so. it's not bad. And I think that if you're an animated fan, if you like the BotCon comic, if you like animated in general, go ahead and grab yourself a Cheetor. They're still available. I don't think that it's bad. If you look at it and absolutely say, oh, I hate that, if you have that bad of an opinion, then there's probably nothing that's going to change your mind. But if you're on the fence and you're like, well, I'm not sure if I'd really like it, I'd say give it a try. I do think it looks better in person. One thing that it really hurts it, I think, though, is the fact that the design, I mean, I'm looking at the front of the box right now, and he's got like black highlights that really they go around his face, and I think really make a big difference that the toy is sadly missing. So
oh, no.
I have yet to see anybody attempt to add that.
I'll do it.
I'm really wondering how how much of a difference that makes, or if it makes any improvement at all. Because if it does, I'd definitely be willing to do that. I just don't know if I want
to
be the first.
I did that. I did that to RC back when she was rare. I'll do it to Cheetor, because that's something that it's something I don't like to do very often, but with animated toys, if there are black lines that aren't on the toy, they're not hard to add in, and they always work, I find.
Yeah, so at the very least, I'm very curious to see how that works, but he's the blur mold, and he's only the second version of this mold ever, so
yeah.
I still really like this mold. The blur mold, actual blur, has always been one of my favorite animated deluxes. I just think it's a really great toy, and I don't think it's any different here. I mean, I still have my complaints. I don't really see the point of why the club changed Cheetor from the hexagon design to having the spots. It looks like he's a bit of an amalgamation, because in robot mode you really don't see, at least from the front, anything but the hexagons.
Yeah.
But in the car mode, he has all the spots, and I read the comic, and I read it kind of quickly, because I remember when Derek was on, he said that the club had a reason for why that was, but I still,
I don't remember
after
reading one.
after going to BotCon and reading the comic, I'm still not sure what that is, so I don't know if that was ever publicly revealed. So maybe I'll ask Derek about that, but so I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe they're oil spots or something. I'm not sure, but I would have preferred Derek's original art. I'm still not happy with the fact that somebody kind of changed it, and apparently, at least in the beginning, without even telling Derek, just decided to modify his design. But You know, outside of the head could be a little bit better, and the spots, I still think that for an animated fan, it's worth a pickup, to be fair. And I'm glad that I got
That's good to hear.
And I think I'm glad that I got it over Ramjet as well. Like I said before, Ramjet, I've already got that mold two or three times, the Conehead version, the non-Conehead version way more than that, so paying a premium to just get a different deco of it. Well, sure, I would have liked to have it. Nothing against it, but
you had to make a choice.
I felt like it was better for me to only choose one at the time, and I think I, at least for myself, I made the right decision. So, I'm kind of glad about that. So, yeah, I like Cheetor. If you're on the fence, get him while he's still available. I think you'll like him. I ended up picking up a crankcase, and I got one of the crankcases with the new hand, with the not the snipped finger, but the actual molded new short regular finger.
How's it look?
That was cool. The hand looks fine. It just looks like a regular hand, which is better than most. Which looks like a damaged, non-normal hand.
Yeah.
I did the fix. I had to open up the head and scrape all the paint and stuff off, and ended up having to shave even just a little bit more because it still didn't want
to
bend.
I had to shave the pegs down and widen the holes on mine.
Yeah, I didn't have to widen the holes at all, and I didn't have to shave the pegs. I just needed to shave off a little bit on the vertical part of the ring that goes around the peg.
Okay.
That's all I had to do, and I also had to shave a little bit around the outside of the ring. Because even after scraping all the paint off, there was still not enough room for there to move without putting way too much force on the dreads. But once that was fixed, everything seems fine. That's a really cool mold, I will say. I'm really into the whole black government secret service looking vehicle that turns into a bad guy. I think that's a really slick concept. The only real complaint I have about the figure is I really wish that hood, the roof of the truck, which folds up on the back, I really wish that clipped in or pegged in somewhere, because
yes.
Mine is very loose. If you even really touch the figure much at all, plop, it pops down. Now, the good thing about that is that's not a pin joint. It's the two little divots where it just kind of clips in.
Yeah.
And it's entirely friction, but it's plastic on plastic, so I'm very confident that I could stick... it's like some fork polish on the inside of that little hinge joint, and it would tighten way up. I believe.
Spoiler: you can, because I did it on mine.
Yeah. I just looking at it, I really figured that was possible. So, if it's correctable, you know, that's whatever. It's
better
fine.
Than being a rivet that you can't do anything about.
Exactly, or a pin joint. There's nothing you can ever do anything about that stuff. But so it's still a bit of a design issue. I wish, too, that the hips were a little tighter. In some extreme poses, he doesn't really want to hold it, but in most cases, it's fine. But I've read several people in the feedback thread who have gotten samples of the figure that were so bad to where he literally could hardly even stand up because those hip balls are so loose.
So I've heard. Again,
it's still something that you can fix because it's a very large ball joint.
Yeah.
So you can always stick something in there to... Or maybe I'll just try the paper towel trick that worked on one of my Halo Reach Play Arts figures. But I'll give that a try and see if that works. But it is kind of a shame that they do seem to be loose overall, not necessarily to any huge detriment, but in some cases it is. But Crank Race is cool. He's one of the figures that from the beginning I said I was always kind of interested in, and I didn't get him immediately at launch because of the whole clip finger thing, but I was very happy when I had heard that there was a fixed version of that, and I scooped one up. I've only seen one and got it, so, and I'm happy with it. I think it's a really cool design. I got, because I was such a huge fan of the Voyager Megatron, I said why not get a little version. I found the actual little battle pack Megatron, Cyberverse Megatron with the trailer that turns into like the battle station.
Jealous. I want that trailer.
Yeah, I've only seen one. I saw one store that had them. They had two. They might have had three. But I went back the next day because I was in the area working, and they were all sold out. And every other one of those new battle pack sets was still there. So somebody really likes the Megatron because they bought all of them. Overall, people have bought them, so he does seem to be fairly popular. But he's neat. The actual Cyberverse figure, because I know you bought the Megatron.
I bought the single one about with the canister cans.
But it's the same mold besides the trailer part.
Yeah.
That is a really, really solid little figure.
Isn't it?
The transformation, I think, is just terrific. And it's the fact that his truck mode, because I'm looking at it now. If you look at it from the bottom, yeah, you can see his face, you can see his arms. But if you look at it from the side, there's no robot parts. Even from the back, you have the trailer hitch. The back of the truck is completely flat, no robot parts. The sides, the front, everything. It's a perfect little truck.
Yeah.
If it was made out of diecast, it would be a perfect little diecast, like Hot Wheels version of a Mack truck.
My first thought when I transformed that guy into truck mode was like, I said this on the podcast I think before, but like, goddamn, like, turning into a truck is the best thing to ever happen to this Megatron because his Voyager is solid and his Cyberverse is dead solid. Like, he's a 2-for-2. Megatron has never been 2-for-2. He's been 1-for-1 when he's lucky in the movie Toy Lines. So.
Yeah, but the transformation is terrific on this little guy. He is a very solid little figure. I love the fact that on the grill it says Mac, even on a figure this small. And even though it's just a tiny little nub, he still has a little hood ornament, yep. Which it's great. My only complaint, and this isn't necessarily against Megatron himself, but just I've said this before, as a whole with the movie figures, especially of this size, I just don't think that the movie aesthetic generally lends itself well to being scaled down when it comes to like the detailing of the crazy shrapnel former aesthetic of the movie. Like his face, it just kind of looks like a bunch of little details that you can't really make out, but you know what they're going for because you know what Megatron looks like. Like the G1 legends, like Warpath and Bumblebee and those and Beachcomber and them. I think that the G1 aesthetic, just because it's blocky and not as detailed, lends itself to these figures so much better. Mm-hmm. And that's really about my only complaint. Because if Megatron had just fundamentally a different overall face design and even arms and stuff, I think that it would have turned out better on a personal level of the way that it looks.
Yeah.
The only other complaint I have is, and it's just specific to this battle set version, because he has like the face damage, right?
Yeah.
And I think on how did they paint the face damage on the version you have?
I don't have him handy right now, but I don't recall it really being all that apparent. He seemed a lot more symmetrical.
But you can look at the mold, and he's got a big gash on his face.
Yeah.
But on this version, they basically painted it mint green.
That's no so good.
He has a giant like mint green like mark on his face, which matches the molding. I mean, it doesn't look like it was a mispaint. It's where it's supposed to be. It's just the color choice for the face damage is a little odd. It looks maybe like a corroded penny, but I don't think his face is made out of copper, so...
That's weird. Because whatever they painted it on the single one, it was not stand out enough to make me think about it, whereas that sounds like it sticks out pretty hardcore.
Yeah, and they also had the other version, which was a two-pack with a Bumblebee, which was, again, the same mold as this, except for without the trailer. I think it comes with the regular trailer that yours came with.
Yeah.
But it was painted in like black and purple, almost kind of like Motormaster, Shadowblade colors, and that looked kind of cool. But I got this one because it has the big trailer and it looks kind of cool next to the larger one. But overall, yeah, I'm not necessarily still sold on Cyberverse. I still think they're a little pricey for what they are. I mean, they're basically like $8, and just 2 years ago that was the price of a deluxe. And this is like a 2.5-inch figure, and I don't know if I still feel comfortable getting a lot of these. I got the Megatron just because I really like his design and didn't want to pass up a full trailered version of a little figure that of a design that I really like. But
Now, I know that we're getting a battle pack version of the Shockwave. We've talked about that quite a bit, but is there going to be a regular Commander basic version without the battle pack version of Shockwave?
I haven't heard anything about just a normal one. So as far as I know, he might only be coming out with the trailer. That said, I might be wrong, because I thought that Ratchet with the trailer lunar base thing was going to be the only way to get a Cyberverse Ratchet. And then while I was in Seattle, I realized there is actually a Cyberverse Legions Ratchet. And the thing about those two packs with the bases is that they are not all Commanders or Legions. Like, there's a mix. Like, Bumblebee and Starscream are Legions, Prime and Megatron are Commanders. So there might be a single pack Shockwave without the huge trailer coming up, but I haven't heard about it yet.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not entirely sure if I want to go for it, but if I could get a hold of a little Shockwave without the whole pack, I it's kind of the opposite with Megatron, because I didn't get Megatron, but I kind of was attracted to the one with the battle pack version, and with Shockwave, I kind of want the opposite. The only one I've seen is the battle pack, and I think I'd rather just have the standalone one, but we'll see. I mean, at the very least, we'll probably get a repaint or something of it later on.
Do you see, though, the big surprise I had with those guys, which is, like you said, like the engineering and the way that they got such a nice, clean, and fun transformation out of that price point? Like,
absolutely. What really surprised me, because he was packed in robot mode.
Yeah.
Which, actually, I think the other one is as well, but when I first transformed him, I actually didn't complete the transformation because I didn't fold his feet up, which make the back of the cab.
Yeah.
So at first, I'm like, okay, he's kind of a cool thing, and I guess he's got, like, these feet here, and I think because I didn't look at the instructions, and I was like, well, maybe the trailer goes over this, and I'm like, how does the trailer connect? This isn't working. And then it hit me that those feet fold up, because I saw the smokestacks. I'm like, oh, wait, like, the smokestacks aren't supposed to be down there. They're supposed to be up. And then when the feet folded up to form the back of the cab, that's when I was just like, oh, wow. He is a complete, just perfect little truck, like, unless you look at him from directly under, there's really nothing to complain about with his vehicle mode.
I think Megatron is easily the top tier of the first wave of those guys. I mean, like, Power Glide, good, and Blackout, it doesn't
really convince me to get any others.
Yeah, Power Glide and Blackout are kind of, like, I want to say they're even better, because Power Glide and Blackout take everything good done by the first wave, Megatron in particular, and up it as well. So, like, you know, Power Glide is just a solid scout. Blackout is...
I had every intention of getting Power Glide and Blackout, and I've seen them now in the store like 10 times, and I just look at them, and they don't do anything for me. I keep putting them back, and I don't know if that's some kind of paradigm shift with me and me trying to finally put my foot down and say that I'm not going to buy everything whether I want it or not. And
the thing about them I felt the same way about Blackout and actually Power Glide until I saw a video the entire time. Blackout until I had him in hand. Just like with Megatron, they don't look all that good till you transform him, and then that's where the real judgment call happens. Like Blackout, his big thing is that he transforms better than the Voyager ever did. And so you transform him, and you're like, finally! It's more like if you like Blackout's design as well, but it's kind of like, for me, I was like, finally, a Blackout toy that has a more solid, like, that has a modern transformation, because 07 isn't really modern anymore. And that Blackout toy, I like it, like the Voyager, but it has aged pretty heavily compared to a lot of other toys.
I have the Power Glide. I like him.
Yeah.
He's more... He feels more like a classics Power Glide than a movie toy.
Yeah. So
just in that alone. I mean, you throw him on your classic shelf.
There you go. Buy him.
Yeah. What are you waiting for? Christmas?
Yeah, I think if he was like $5 or something, I'd be a little more apt to pick him up. But I think he's not worth $8 to me.
I think Cyberverse is going to go on sale a lot faster than a lot of other things are. So the opportunity may present itself soon. I know you got something else Transformers-y that I got as well. I didn't know if you had something else you wanted to talk about before that.
Nope, that's about it, if you want to do the little dual super-duper team-up match.
All right, let's team up. Creo Megatron.
Yeah.
Now, have you built the truck mode yet, or are you still just talking about the robot?
I haven't. No, okay. I had every intention of trying to get that thing built by the end, by today before we recorded, and I haven't had a chance. He's in robot mode, but
no worries.
I haven't had a chance to do the truck yet.
I did robot mode yesterday, and I've been modifying it ever since yesterday, and I've got one I'm kind of happy with now. But I'm curious. Let's talk about the Creo first. The packaging makes it look a lot bigger than it actually is, I found. A lot of those I think that the box could have actually been smaller and still held those little baggies, but that was just me. And the box seemed bigger more so for the massive instruction book that you get with these things. And the instruction book was very much a Lego instruction book. There's something that's very, very thinly veiled, if you even going to call it veiled, is the fact that these are basically Legos. Right down to the big shiny gold sticker on the box that says "Works with leading brand" and a picture of a Lego block. And then the instructions are totally Lego instructions, at least in the style as I remember them from back in the day. So did you just build the stock robot mode, or did you alter it at all?
The first thing I had noticed is the way that at least on the box art, I believe, the way that the chest was built was slightly different than the way the instructions did it. Because I think the bar on the front of the truck is a little bit higher. And I was looking at it. I was like, well, if I take the chest apart and do a couple of the layers in a different order, I could get it the way it looks on the front of the box. But I didn't really want to take the figure torso halfway apart and redo a bunch of stuff. But
okay.
I didn't really do any modification. I just straight built him just to get an opinion of the way
the stock robot mode
and everything went together. I did make a mistake, like one of the joints. I don't remember which joint, but when I was putting the knees together, the knees have one specific type of ball joint that you clip together, and I accidentally used the wrong kind. So when I got the legs together, I was like, "Oops, I accidentally mistaked two parts, which are basically identical except for." The joint works a little bit different.
Yeah, the knee joints are actually a bit more limited in that they're made to be just forward and backward.
Yeah, I think I accidentally used the ankles or something, the upper part of the ankle instead, and had to swap those out. But other than that, it went pretty smoothly. I have to say, I think it's a little better in hand. The pictures don't. It's not a photogenic thing.
No.
It not at all. It was fun. It was definitely fun to build. And I'll get this out of the way right now. The only reason why I bought this was for the Creons, because I figured, okay, well, at the very least, I'll have a set. I can have an informed opinion. I can get the curiosity out of the way. And I also want the one with the Shockwave Creon. And he also came with a little G1 Megatron Creon. So I got two of the cooler little Creons. And I think those are rad, and I would love to get my hands on more. I don't know if I'm willing to spend the money on these sets, because certainly it was fun. I don't know if I'm a Lego person anymore. I haven't actively done anything with Legos since I was a very young kid. I have lots of fond memories with Legos. I mean, almost any kid my age, or my age when they were a kid, from when they were a kid, have fond memories of just having a giant Lego box and probably anyone even past that, I don't know. Because Legos never seems to have dropped out in popularity whatsoever, but, I mean, it just seems like pretty much any kid has fond memories of just having a giant Lego box of just crazy parts, and yeah, you have, like, the official vehicle for a while, but in the end, it all just ends up in the box, and there's no... everyone becomes one with the Matrix, I guess. And you just pull the pieces out one by one.
That's a philosophy of life. Everybody just ends up in the box.
Yeah. the Creons are cool. I'd love to have more of those little dudes. I think they're awesome. I don't know if I'm willing to pay the piper to get all that stuff.
I came at this from an opposite angle. I thought the Creons looked cool, but not cool enough to want to buy entire Lego sets just to get the little minifigures. So I was actually going, someday I'll get Creons, but for now, I'm just going to be skipping this whole thing. Then Pia got a bunch of these and talked about them on Twitter for 15 years in the space of 24 hours. And then some other people got a couple of these and talked about them a whole bunch and said, wow, this is surprisingly fun. And then I kept looking at pictures. And then PR and other people started modifying the robot modes to look a whole lot less, for lack of a better term, a lot less derpy. And then I went like, all right, now I'm actually finding myself getting very interested in these as kits, with the bonus of the Creons already being really cool. So I went to Seattle over the weekend, and I went to Toys R Us, and then I have another story I'll tell from that. But then I went back right before I left, and lo and behold, found a whole bunch of Creon stuff, or Creo stuff. So I actually picked up a couple of these, but Megatron was the biggest set that they had, and I wanted him anyway. He was the primary one I wanted, because he had not only the most impressive-looking robot mode I'd seen once modified, but he also had two Creons I really wanted, so boom. And I built him stock per the instructions, and he was okay. But I looked at how many parts were left over, and I remembered how other people modified them, so I started to just peel layers off from the top down until I hit a point where I wanted his shoulder line to actually be. And then I just kind of modified the layers a bit, put it back together, it kind of worked, and now I have one who actually looks quite imposing. I'm really surprised how much I like his robot mode, to the point where I've actually started considering, instead of having to rip these things down and rebuild them every time, I'm considering getting a second Megatron for the truck mode, because I built the truck mode first, and I actually really liked the truck mode, which surprised me.
Yeah, I kind of expected to like it, because the reason why I built the robot mode first was to kind of get it out of the way.
Yeah.
And I planned on doing that first. Okay, now I got an opinion of how the robot mode works, and now I'm going to put it in truck mode, because at least for the time being, that's probably the way it's going to stay.
It's a very good truck mode. It's real thick. It's real heavy. The tires are all rubber. It rolls like a mother trucker. And all the doors open. It's got this rotating axle on the back, and then all the leftover pieces, you can kind of just plug them together into a cube and then stick them on the rotating axle and spin them around, because that's awesome. But I kind of want to, so now I'm considering getting a second one to have a truck mode and then just sell the Creons, because as I understand it, a whole lot of people want the Creons. Hi, Seth.
What's up? Hey man. Did you know my Guns N' Roses cover band is called Rotating Axle?
Is it? What's your hit single? Creon.
Sweet Child O' Mine.
Is it middle-aged and chubby?
That's what she said.
Anyway.
It's interesting also how the box art does have a different robot mode. I never even noticed it, because I just started rebuilding my own version, but then...
Well, it's really slight. Yeah. It just...
Well, the doors are on it, for one thing, which is big. Cause the
Oh, I didn't even notice
that.
Yeah,
the door...
I got the box.
The doors are on there. They're, like, backwards, and I don't know how they're stuck on, but... I stuck the doors on differently, because the one problem I had with him, aside from his shoulder line, all the Creo robot modes, their shoulder lines are too low. And on the bright side, because this is a building block set, it's fixable, and that's part of the play pattern, which I really like. But one way that I also fixed him up is I thought his arms were also too thin at the top, so I thickened out his biceps with a lot of, like, each bicep has leftover pieces on it. There's two leftover wheel axles, two leftover wheels, two leftover windshields, and two leftover doors. So each of his biceps has a door, a windshield, and a wheel stuck on it to bulk out the volume a little bit. And I am incredibly surprised how much I like this robot mode, also because it is so damn tall. The only thing I'm hemming and hawing on is I put most of the stickers on him, and I put on his silly little Megatron name tag, and he's got his name tag...
You mean his Megatron genital plate?
Yeah, he's got his name tag right on his penis. It says Megatron in, like, a "Hi, my name is" name tag, and I'm thinking I might leave that off and plug it somewhere else, like on the back of his neck or something.
No, that's half the personality. That's like when you go to Hooters and they have a name tag that says, "Hey, my face is up here." It's just like he's daring you to, like, stare at his crotch.
Read
like,
it.
Yeah.
Read it,
Congressman Megatron.
Read it. I also like how his hands are done. That was kind of neat, with the claws and the individual finger pose abilities.
Yeah, I was also kind of amused by the fact that basically his head plugs into a ball joint, but all the ball joint is literally is a flat four peg Lego piece with a ball joint on the top.
Anywhere.
Yeah, you can, any Lego
kit ever can now have a Transformer head on it due to the advent of, and I'm, you know, also, I'm sure this isn't the first time it's been done, but it is for me. What? Just having a ball joint Lego piece, now you can just stick a Transformers head on anything.
I actually was going to get to the head, but I just wanted to throw out two other quick little things. Actually, three. Number one, the missile launcher. I wasn't expecting a missile launcher brick. That's kind of cool. It's a pressure
even though
launcher.
It's just a pressure launcher, but it was still, yeah, I wasn't really expecting that.
Well, for build possibilities, now, if you're going to just go imagination style and just build something, you have a missile launcher you can build into your Creo robot. Also, he has a spinning jail on his back. Like, he has a spinning jail cell on his back.
Yeah.
I don't even know why, but whatever. And also, he has a driver's seat, almost. Well, he's got a driver's seat on his butt, and then on his back, he's got this kind of folding hinge piece with two oil canisters and a steering wheel, which, like, between this and how huge these robots are, and how big the Creons are, these, to me, honestly make me think that the Creons are actually the Transformers, and these are just, like, giant gladiator robot bodies they've built to fight each other. Because, I thought this guy looked really cool, but he really clicked with me when I put all the Creons, like, just standing on his shoulders, and, like, looking like they were shooting at stuff from on top of his shoulders. So it's like, this is a giant Megatron drone that the actual Megatron rides on. And that made me fall in love with this entire concept. I can't explain why. That's where I finally really clicked with it. But I do want to talk about the heads, because I have a couple Creo figures, so this is kind of a Creo thing. But with the Megatron head, I actually really like this head. Number one, it's on a ball joint, so it can actually tilt. It's got enough room to tilt around a little bit and angle. And also, the head sculpt is kind of neat. It's like it's a movie/animated helmet with literally the G1 Megatron face right down to the eyebrows. The eyebrows are actually sculpted in there. They aren't painted, but he's got the, you know, the two V eyebrow things that Derek Wyatt always flips out about on Twitter, about any Megatron design. And, also the head's made of a kind of soft plastic, which is kind of weird, but all the Creo heads so far have that aspect to them. Gog, what do you think of the head?
It's okay. I mean, the one thing about these Creo sets is they've definitely tried to strike an amalgamation of movie aesthetic versus, like, a classics type of aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like a good example is the Sentinel Prime. That Sentinel Prime is 100% taken from the movie. He has got the same alt mode, basically. He's got the almost the exact same robot mode. But his face, like, looks like Prime Cliff Jumper. Like, yeah. It's a total, like, they didn't go anywhere movie style when it comes to the face designs, except for maybe some slight homaging. Like, you can definitely tell with the Jazz. Like, his Creon is 100% G1 Jazz, but his, the robot mode, he has, like, at least on the box, because Megatron's head color on the box versus the actual one inside is a little off. Like, he has just a silver bucket head,
yeah.
More G1. But on the box, it's painted more black, almost
it's like the comic book version, almost.
Yeah, exactly. Like that old G1 prototype thing that never actually made it to production. But the so they're definitely going for, like, a somewhat of a movie inspired aesthetic, but, like, total, like, classics, or at least traditional, like, face on top of that. So it's like this weird kind of amalgamation, almost.
Yeah.
And, like, with the Ratchet too, like, I don't have him in front of me. Let me see if he's on the back of the box here. No, they don't show the Ratchet, but doesn't the Ratchet have a head, even in both the Creon and the actual Creo head? Doesn't it have, like, a G1 style head crest?
Yeah, it's got a huge G1 head crest.
Yeah. Yeah. So It just seems like they weren't really this isn't a negative, but it's like, well, do we go with movie or do we go with old school for the collectors? And it's like, let's just do a little bit of both.
Yeah,
which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but these aren't taking really from any specific generation. I don't think it's like a mix. Like, this is definitely movie Megatron. He's a gray truck, but it's
got a very G1 like head. So it's like, we'll just take a little bit of everything.
Even in the colors, he's G1 because he's got the red, the red and black layering on the stomach.
Right. But he definitely has the movie Mack truck mode.
Yeah. I really like the aesthetic, actually. And like I said, especially once you have the time to rip apart the pre-build robot mode and alter it a little bit to look a little bit better. These things are actually really neat. I'm really surprised by them, because I think that I was going into these, I went into these really excited till I found out that they didn't actually transform, that you just had, you were able to build them in two different modes, depending on what you decided to do. Killed a lot of my interest in these. Creons brought my interest back. Creons are only with the big box sets. Interest dies off. Finally building one, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm not going to like go desperately trying to hunt all of these down, but I'm certainly not going to avoid buying them, because I am finding them really fun, and I'm finding the end results really cool.
Yeah. The another thing that I had a realization with, and I went through a couple different philosophies, I think, when I was building this, is as far as trying to decide where I stood. But for one, this is not a transforming robot toy.
No, it's not.
Even though it is a Transformer character with two distinct modes, but I think when I built Megatron for the first time, and I wasn't, trying to rush through it or anything, and I was sitting here talking to somebody on Skype while I built it, but I think the Megatron, it took me over an hour to put everything together, mostly because I just emptied all my parts into a giant pile, and half the time was me trying to find the little pieces and stuff.
The first thing I thought halfway through building this was, all right, first improvement to Creo, tackle boxes. Or Ziploc bags, so I can at least put all the different, or make the bags separated in some way, so there's a semblance of organization to parts. Because that is rough. I forgot about that part of Lego building.
Yeah. Going from mode to mode, it's probably going to take you a couple hours, because you're going to have to completely disassemble the figure and then build him from scratch. Probably, at least in my case, probably using instructions. But this isn't something that you just get bored. I would pick up Voyager Megatron and like, okay, I'll sit here and watch TV and transform him. No, it's a completely involved process where this is probably nothing new to Lego people, but I'm not a Lego person. So this is my first. And I know that there's Lego sets out there that have multiple modes with the same set. Like, this isn't anything new, but they are applying it to an existing franchise that has this in a gimmick. But I just think maybe for people like me who are more into just the transforming robots, like, there is zero transformation here. It's completely, you break everything down to its base blocks and completely rebuild it from the ground up again. And at least with the larger sets, it's probably going to take you a couple hours, and that's fine. But there's not, I don't know how much of an incentive there is for me. Once I've seen both modes, for me on a personal level, it's I'm going to pick whichever one I like the most, and that's probably where it's going to stay. And I can't see myself ever finding a reason to ever want to break it down and rebuild it again. And it's cool going through that the first time and like seeing it, like, okay, this is what Creo is, and here's the robot mode, and I see what they're doing. And talking to you, it's like, okay, yeah, the whole purpose of Lego is you can kind of rebuild it and reform things in a way that you see better. That's the whole purpose of the box. It's like, okay, that was a little fun, and now I'm going to build the truck mode, and I don't really want to spend an entire evening like going back and forth. And that's just the fact that I don't think I'm a Lego person. Like, I see that Sentinel Prime. I think that Sentinel Prime in both modes looks really cool. And I even think PL had said that that was what he thought was far and away the winner of all the ones he's had so far.
Wish I'd seen it.
I haven't seen that one in person yet. The biggest ones I've seen are the Megatron that I got, and then the large Optimus with the trailer. I haven't seen the Sentinel yet. But that Sentinel looks really cool. But I'm going to have a hard time justifying a purchase of that
it's not something where you can just pick a mode whenever you want to see the other mode. You got to make an evening of it.
You can if you're willing to spend a good 2 hours doing that.
Yeah.
And it's like not even something you could really watch a movie because unless
well, you can't if you don't mind. Already, yeah, you can't
unless
if you, don't
you unless you
look
mind just hearing the audio.
Yeah,
because you're not going to watch it. It's something you would hear.
That leads me to my next thing. I'd love to see in Creo Transformers if they evolve and improve beyond this is when I did my rebuild from the truck to the robot. The first thing I thought was, how cool would it be if you know, you still do this building block thing, but the truck is made of various built segments that remain together when you pull it apart. Like, pull the truck apart, but just, you know, pull off all the embellishments on the outside and then take these 6 or 7 core blocks of built parts. Pull them apart.
I really thought about that as well, but then I think that, for the most part, the aesthetics of what they're going for are... might take a little bit of a dive.
It's true, and that's exactly why, having built one of these, when people tell me, oh, I'd buy those if they really transformed, I'd say, no, you wouldn't, because these would not look this good if they transformed. And if they were going to make these look like this and transform, the price would it be at least 15, 20 bucks higher, if not more.
Yeah, I agree. So I just think that that's... You just have to know that going into this, is that... Yeah, these are totally Transformers characters with two distinct modes, but it's not a transforming robot toy. It is it is Legos. Yeah. It is Legos with, instead of it being some weird flying dragon fighting police, it's in the shape of a Transformers character, but there is no difference between this and another Lego set, other than some familiarity with an existing brand.
Exactly.
There's nothing that sets this apart from Lego at all.
Yeah.
And for some people, that is absolutely fine. And I don't think that it should be. I don't think that's not a complaint at all. It's just that for me, I like transforming robot toys, and I'm not willing to spend the 2 hours converting it from mode to mode like that. I'd rather have a pre-built figure with that gimmick engineered in.
Yeah, this is not a Transformers toy. This is a building block toy using the Transformers IP is what this is. And that's, I think, the biggest thing you've got to know going into this. And that's, I think, what both cuts this off from a lot of people, but also legitimizes it entirely. And I'll always say, you know, if you want to see this done where they just transform from mode to mode, go look at Built to Rule and tell me what you think. And a story.
Overall, I think it's pretty cool. And I'm more interested in seeing the stock set and then seeing how people modify it to look even better. And I'm still pretty impressed of how, like, because the official robot mode, it uses almost all the pieces. There are a few left over, but it's not many. And like, how cool would that be to be the guy who has to create this set and determine which blocks can go into this pretty decent-looking truck mode, and I need most of these to turn into a fairly decent robot mode with not a lot of parts left over. Like, when I'm building this, I'm like, wow, maybe this isn't the most aesthetically pleasing version of Megatron that's ever existed, but... the fact that all these parts are going into two distinct modes in different places is still kind of neat.
Yeah, and when you build some of the other Creo sets, it's really interesting seeing where they place, like, joints in the vehicle modes and how they kind of double task some of those joint pieces. Seth, has any of this talk... How do you feel... Because I know that you're super after that Shockwave Creon. Has any of this talk made you feel a certain way about the Megatron set on the whole? Like, are you still just going to try to grab the Creon? Are you thinking the set might be worth giving a go?
Yeah, how much is that thing selling for?
30, I want to say.
Yeah, the Megatron is 30.
Yeah, that's a lot just for... And it only comes with two Creons,
well,
right?
It technically comes with
technically
four,
but two of them are generic humans. There's a cop and a quote-unquote specialist.
To its credit, it also gives you a big frame of handcuffs and machine guns and rifles to go with all the Creons. So the human ones aren't just forgettable.
And all those are on the sprue. I was kind of amused when I saw that. It's like, wow, here's a bunch of... it's like a weapon pack for Creons, and it's still on the sprue. Kind of like the Ninja Turtles figures.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not interested in building the thing. So, and you know, I'm not crazy frothing at the mouth to get at that Shockwave. I mean, I would like it. I would like the Megatron too. I like all the little dudes, but Yeah, I could live without them, though.
You're not ripping lamps off the wall?
No, but if, I mean, if there was an option, if the right deal came along, I'd entertain the offer, but, yeah, I mean, I could live without it in the end.
There, okay. I mean, I was curious, because you were eyeing some of that stuff when GOG was twit-picking it. There are two other things I want to bring up that I heard from people who know Lego, which is apparently the joints in the robot modes for these guys, like these heavy friction ball joints, are superior to what is in Lego's action figure style building toys. And also apparently the robot modes just kind of look better than what Lego has done for their stock robot modes. This is just what I heard from hearsay from some people who say they buy a lot of Lego stuff. So that kind of made me feel cool, because I was kind of getting my brief moment of brand pride. I was like, yeah, we're doing Lego, but better. Cue all the Lego fans just coming after me for saying that.
They're probably already going to come after this segment, because I've seen some people get uptight with the way the name Lego is used. It's like, well, the blocks aren't Legos, and blah, it's crazy. So someone's already mad about this whole last however long this segment's been going.
Well, let me make him madder. I'm going to move into what else I got this week, which was more Creo. But I only built one of my other sets, so I'm just going to talk about that, and I'm going to talk about the other ones next week once I've messed with them. But I picked up Ratchet, Little Optimus, and Mirage, and I have actually built Mirage in both modes. So I built one of the small sets that comes with two Creons. And there's one big difference about these small sets, which is a bummer. Let me just go grab them. On the bright side, these smaller Creo sets, the prospect of stripping them down and rebuilding them is a million times less daunting than with Megatron. Because these were like 20 minutes to build.
Yeah, I imagined.
Like, I'm looking at Mirage, and I am actually considering, just for fun, ripping them down and rebuilding them and ripping them down and rebuilding them, because it's not insane to do. The problem is, now, the articulation on these is different. They have exactly the same style of heads. It's that same square with the post. The heads are a somewhat rubbery material. And the hip joints and ankles are the same ball joints. So he's got fully posable hips and ankles. No knee joints. I'm okay with that. The elbow joints are actually really well done, because it's a hinged block, and then it's two hinged blocks sandwiched with their axes in tandem. So you're actually getting a decent amount of friction on the elbow joints. The shoulders, though, are just a single flap, and it has almost no friction and can barely even hold up the weight of the arm itself. And also, when I say flap, I mean the only direction that these shoulders move is as though he was flapping his arms like a bird. So the smaller toys have this major problem in that their arms are completely useless for any kind of action poses. Which is kind of a bummer. This is something that I think could be fixed, especially if they ever release Creo joints on their own, or apparently you can order replacement Creo parts, and if you just order some more of those ball joints, and maybe a few more of these hinge joints for the knees, then, you know, you can alter these builds. But out of the box, I will say the arms are very disappointing. However, if you're just going to have these guys kind of stand still stoically, or have them in like casual walking poses, the hip and ankle joints are excellent for this stuff. And really tight, just like on Megatron, but with far less weight behind them. So these guys just look really good standing still, looking off into the distance, or jump kicking each other all the time. So I it also helps that, you know, Mirage was a $12 kit as compared to Megatron's $30 stature. But I would recommend looking at these guys and just picking out ones who look like they're neat. Like, I made a decision. I was choosing between, I took Megatron, and then I was like, all right, I got to make a choice between Ratchet, Prowl, and Bumblebee. I'm going to choose Ratchet, because I think he looks better. I'm going to choose between Jazz and Mirage. Mirage looks way better, so I'll choose him. Little Optimus versus Little Bumblebee. Little Optimus looks better. So far, I'm kind of digging these guys. If you want one that is definitely effective on all fronts, Megatron, I think, is one of the top tier ones I've seen. He's the top tier one I've messed with, for sure. I hope to find Sentinel Prime sometime. As for the smaller ones, you gotta go in knowing that their arms are real messed up, but I'm sure this is also all fixable with the help of more Creo parts. Like I said, it's a building block toy. But that's Mirage. I did also pick up another Transformer, because when I went to Seattle this weekend, I expressly was on the hunt for Creo and Leader Ironhide. And I went out, I got in there, I met up with a fellow I've known for years, I've never met in person, from the UK. And I was like, hey, no one else is in town yet. We got a couple hours. I was going to go to Northgate Mall. You want to come with me? He's like, sure. So little did he know the sort of amazing shopping bus trip we'd go through, where I said, yeah, according to Google Maps, it should only take us about an hour and a half. And it took us about 4 hours total. But little did I know we would be heading onto the I-5 highway during work rush hour, heading back. But when we went out there, I found some cool stuff, but I couldn't find anything I was actually looking for. Target was the last place I was going to check, and it was all done. I had nothing to show for my trip, and I was kind of like, hey, these leader toys are, you know, they're $70 in Canada, and Target's actually marked them down to $39.99. I don't have leader Bumblebee yet. Why not? So I bought leader Bumblebee. And I'm going to say right now, I'm going to eat some crow. Leader Bumblebee is actually pretty fun. I was surprised by this. I was very surprised by this. He has one big thing that legitimizes him in my collection, which is that he's the first Bumblebee toy I've got who really pulls off the slenderness of Bumblebee's aesthetics from the shoulders down. That said, if there's one problem, it's that this guy's shoulder pieces extend up past his shoulders just a little bit too far and give him the appearance of a hunchback, which isn't there if you look at him from the right angles. But from the shoulders down, he actually looks really nice in robot mode. The transformation is somewhat unique for a Bumblebee in a pretty good way. It's surprisingly simple, but does a whole lot. It does the fake mass shifting, so this guy is really tall in robot mode, but his vehicle mode's about the same size, if not a little bit smaller, than the Human Alliance vehicle mode. Yet his robot mode is much taller. So that was kind of cool too. Also, he has this big psychotic mech tech backpack, which for all intents and purposes looks pretty dumb. But it does this and it makes that noise. And when you untransform it, it goes like, and that kind of makes me like it. Also, as far as lights and sounds go, it's really good at what it does. You've got all these little things sticking down here. And basically, you just push in one of the weapons, and it makes noises and has lights. It also clips onto the vehicle mode in a very amusing way, because it means that he's a Camaro with a giant ball of technology stuck on the back. But Leader Bumblebee was, I'm going to say, if you buy him, he's not the best toy in the world. He's yet another Bumblebee, but he is not a crappy toy. And maybe it helps that I never picked up any of the other high-end Bumblebee toys, like Battle Ops or whatnot. This is my first big Bumblebee, but I'm actually kind of happy with him. I'm kind of enjoying him. If this is going to be my Dark of the Moon Bumblebee toy that looks like Bumblebee, then I'm happy about that, because I want the deluxe, but I want the insane Cyberfire demon version that CookSucks tweeted a great picture of a couple days ago. Also, this guy's battle mask slides down, but, you know, it should on a toy this big. So, Leader Bumblebee, I actually like. If you don't like him, there's all kinds of reasons not to want to pick him up, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he's actually not a bad toy. So, yeah. Many props.
I've basically, since the first movie, have had a no more Bumblebee policy. But that's definitely breaking for, what is that one called? Like Cyberfire
Bumblebee.
Yeah, but like, I totally missed that in the case. I think that my brain just put a big censored mark over any Bumblebee I saw in the case, walked by it, didn't even take pictures. Like, I don't care. It's another Bumblebee. Anything in that case is just a repaint or a slight retool anyway. And it's, you know, how many Bumblebees have we gotten? It's the same toy. Even when it's new, it's still the same. And then our friend Andy CookSucks, like, posted the picture saying, like, this is the scariest Transformer ever made. And I'm just like, what the hell is that? He's like, dude, that was in the case at BotCon. I'm like, how did I miss that? There's no way I'm passing that up. That dude just straight up looks demonic. Yeah. And it's crazy with those red eyes how suddenly his face just looks like this weird human skull.
Yep.
It's like, Leader Bumblebee, you know, yeah, not my thing, but yeah, Cyberfire. Like, I'm there, baby.
If you need a one sentence reason to get Leader Bumblebee, it is for his aesthetics in robot mode, because they're somewhat unique, and that's great. But he's also Bumblebee, and there are a great many people who have had enough Bumblebee. GogDog is one of those people. A lot of people I know are those people. So
literally the only Revenge of the Fallen, or the only movie Bumblebee toys that I have are the original 70s Camaro, the old junker, and the very first, quote-unquote, the concept Camaro, back before the car was even out. Everybody called it concept, and that... I remember the scalpers went crazy with that.
Yep.
That figure, it was so hard to find, and I finally got it, and, I've... 15 billion Bumblebees later, my first two were fine, but Cyberfire is going to be my first exception to that.
Yeah, but, I just wanted to get the word out there that Leader Bumblebee is actually not crap. So,
there we go. I have the Human Alliance too, but
done my good deed for the day. Seth, you got some off topic stuff. I want to kick off our off topic.
On your end. Yeah. So, while at Toys R Us, I got a couple Marvel figures. I got a comic book Bucky. Now I think there was more than one Bucky's. I think the one I got is different than the more classic World War II style Bucky. He just looks more modern, like in the design. I think there was an even like more old school style one.
Oh, okay.
Which I want to hunt down because for some reason I've become Bucky obsessed. I think it's just because I got that Captain America figure that's like the Bucky cap.
So now you're like, I must collect all Buckies.
Yeah, and then I got Winter Soldier. And I have that classic World War II Captain America. I mean, he really should have a Bucky hanging out with him. And, I have this other Bucky, so I'll probably be able to find it online pretty cheap. Who loves Bucky? Nobody. Oh. But, man, did I talk about getting that Captain America before? Maybe I got that since the last show.
I forgot, because you got... I mean, at BotCon you had some Cap stuff, and you talked about Captain America before BotCon.
I got the... This was definitely after BotCon, but it might have been after 151. That I just forgot to talk about it then. But on a trip to Target, I grabbed the Bucky style Captain America, like after Steve Rogers was supposedly shot and killed, and
spoiler,
they promoted a Winter Soldier to a Captain America status. The shield that comes with that one sucks. It's like this giant hamburger looking thing. It's huge and it has these pop out blades that are just dumb. But the figure, the paint job is incredible. It's mostly black, and then the red, white, and blue parts are this super shiny metallic paint that just looks really, really awesome. And speaking of metallic paint, I also got that Captain Britain that's all metallic-y painted. I think that's the one you have.
Yeah, are the white stripes in his chest kind of pink?
Not on the one I got, but I have seen pink ones.
I could only find pink ones so far.
Yeah, I mean, they're not super perfect, but I've seen ones that are way, way worse than what I got. Mm. So that's three Captain Britons I have all of a sudden.
What do you think of Captain Britain's giant missile launcher?
It's pretty goofy. I took it out of the package and put it aside and whatever. But that sword is the same sword that the Captain of Britain in the Kmart exclusive 3-pack comes with.
Oh, really?
But it's yeah. Like, I think if I remember right, the Kmart one is just solid gray, where that one has the golden hilt and.
Hell yeah!
So it looks fancier. And then I got the U.S. agent, which is the black costume Captain America.
I always thought his name was kind of goofy.
Yeah, like the and.
Well, would you have preferred Canadian agent?
Yes, the Canadian agent. Canadian.
And then I don't really care for that shield that he comes with. Like the weird eagle shield. And Proto Man had suggested that I get the Lux heavy riot gear, whatever the hell the name of that Captain America is, because it comes with a shield that's basically the old US agent shield. And he was saying is a more accurately colored Ultimate Captain America when you take off all the like the red riot gear parts that he comes with. So I went, okay, I'll get that because I see that thing freaking everywhere. That is not hard to find. So I got a better shield from my U.S. agent and a better Ultimate Captain America fire. So that all worked out, just trading shields around all over the place.
Awesome.
And yeah, so like the only story arc I ever read of Captain America, like I've read all kinds of stuff with Captain America in it, but the only time I read Captain America comics was the story arc where Steve Rogers quits as Captain America and becomes U.S. agent. And this and the dude that's U.S. agent now becomes Captain America. And that was all kind of interesting the way they did that. And that costume's kind of cool looking, but that black outfit. And so then the other figure I got at Toys R Us along with Bucky was I just sort of broke down and picked up like the current comic Thor. And I had a choice. I could get the single carded one or the one in the two pack with Iron Man and a comic book. And Thor's looked pretty close. There were some slight color variations, but it didn't seem like one of them had like less paint apps to the point of looking dopey. And I went, man, like this Iron Man looks pretty good. The colors are real nice on it, but I have so many Iron Mans. I'll just save some money and get the single Thor. And so now I have a big, wide-faced, flat-nosed Thor.
Yeah.
Not even really sure why. I just did.
I like that Thor toy. Just there's something weirdly mushy about his face.
Yeah, I mean, he's huge. He's a big, burly dude with a big, wide face. I think I was just like swept up in being at multiple Toys R Us's and having gotten some other stuff already, and it's like, I just keep buying crap. And but the main reason I went to Toys R Us in the first place was they were doing a sale on video games, so they had six games as part of this deal, and you choose any two. And you get both of them for $50. And I had that $50 gift card from when I bought Mortal Kombat and Portal 2 together. So it's like I got four games for the price of two.
Nice. So,
that's a pretty good deal. And now my stack of shame grows. Because even though I'm chipping away at that Dark of the Moon game, I'm still really playing Halo. So, man, I just got all these games. So I picked, so of the six that were available, two of them were Portal and Mortal Kombat. So those, you know, I already got those. So those are out. So of the four that were left to choose from, Brink got horrendous reviews.
Yeah.
So, and then Fear 3, which I'm not hearing great things about. And I never played any Fear games anyway. So, all that was left were Call of Duty Black Ops, which I was planning on playing eventually anyway when it got cheap enough, and L.A. Noir, which is something I actually do want. So
nice.
That Call of Duty through process elimination and Black Ops out of actual desire, or L.A. Noir out of actual desire. So I'm going to wait till all the DLC is out for L.A. Noir based on the suggestion from the Giant Bomb podcast, which is if you haven't played it yet, just wait until all the DLC is out.
I've been thinking of, I have a couple bucks left in my PSN account. I've been thinking of just grabbing that season pass if it's still available, even though I haven't bought the game yet.
Yeah, well, it sounds like their suggestion is based on then you get to play the DLC in sequence of the rest of the game instead of finishing the game and then sort of time traveling back to when those cases happen.
Yeah. I'm all right with that. I mean, if I wait, if this means I just wait until, like, you know, holiday season to play L.A. Noire, all the better, because then I'll have something to do later this year.
So that is all that I got.
All right. Gog, how about you? How off topic did you get?
I just got a couple of things. I finally found, because I got a few of those plush Angry Birds dudes with the sound chips where you squeeze them and they make little clips. I finally found a mustached pig. So I now have about four pigs, and they had one with the crown too, which I didn't care because they're the same as the others with just a crown on top. But that mustached bastard, I finally own him. He looks glorious.
Damn that mustache bastard to hell.
Yeah.
And that reminds me, I did get one other thing, but when you're done with your bird.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I got an angry bird too.
Oh!
I got a smaller one that comes with like a clip on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. The little backpack clip one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got it at the Hallmark store when I was picking up a Father's Day card. And they had a shelf with a bunch of them. So they had the red one and the yellow one and the blue one. And the yellow ones weren't quite triangle enough. And I figured, well, the red one, that's the one that's in all the, like, the official artwork and stuff. That's the title card bird, even though it's the most boring bird. And then they had one or two of the big, huge pigs, but they didn't have any big birds. And when I took it up to the counter with the card, the older lady behind the counter is like, these are so popular. We can't keep them in stock. They sell so fast. Because we had a whole case of the big ones, and now they're practically all gone. It's just been a couple of days. I'm like, well, it's a really popular game. She goes, is that what it is? I didn't even know it was a video game. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's huge. And then, like, I kind of told her, like, yeah, these pigs stole the birds' eggs, and now the birds are mad, and they shoot the birds at the pigs with a slingshot. She's like, that is weird, but at least now I know what it is.
Yeah, I was in Barnes & Noble day before yesterday, and they actually have a real-life Angry Birds where you set up, like, obstacles and stuff, and then set the little pigs on top of them, and it comes with a little catapult, and you try to catapult the birds into the pigs. I don't think I'll ever own it, but it was kind of amusing.
That's crazy. Good Lord. Here, I'll tweet a picture of my bird at you guys.
Aside from your mustachioed damn him to hell pig bastard, did you get anything else off topic?
Yeah, I got a NECA Big Daddy Bouncer, but it's the one that comes with the LED light.
I almost bought that. If I didn't find the Creo, I would have bought that because they had it at the Toys R Us in Seattle, but it was like $24-25, and I was like,
yeah, around here they're all $22, which is, that's about the same price as the non-LED ones when they originally came out a year ago. So those LEDs are really cool. It goes through all three colors, because you have green where you have it in trance and it's on your side. Yellow is neutral, and red is when you've attacked it and it's basically coming to kill you when it's you or him. And the LEDs are really bright and cool, and I can't wait to take some pictures of this in the light box, and it's going to look really cool. But I like it. I've always liked that Big Daddy mold. It's just a big hunk of more than you would expect posable plastic, and the LEDs just really kind of accent it. And I already have two Big Daddy's bouncers, and I was kind of hesitant, but I was like, NECA's already said this is the only one that's going to get the LED treatment, so I was like, why not? It's only $20, and I don't regret it, and I think I'm going to have fun.
If I see it again, I think I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
I never got any of the Big Daddies or any of the BioShock toys so far, so...
Yeah, the bouncer is one of my favorites. The bouncer is just, it's cool on its own right. So the LEDs just really, really make it even cooler, I think. So
want it.
And that's it for me.
All right, off topic in my case, got nothing. Which is, you know, most of my off topic stuff tends to come from stuff mailed to me, and that's not an option right now. Because Canada Post went entirely on strike, and as far as I know, even though the government is legislating them back and pulling a dick move and messing with their wages while they do so, I still have no way of getting any mail. So
So how long have you guys been without mail?
It all happened while I was out of town, so I don't know if it was. It was sometime last week, I think, that it happened. I don't have the dates handy on me, but it's been at least a week now. The last time they went on strike, it was 2 weeks. Yeah, it's not cool. Not cool at all. And it's a bummer because I had just there was a big O'Neill Designs Glios drop a couple weeks ago, and they started to ship out today, and I'm like, oh man, I don't even know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm actually, now that you mentioned it, I've been kind of affected by this as well, because Protoman found a bunch of grapples at Toys R Us for like $14 each, and he picked one up for me and can't mail it to me. I'll get it one day, but
I had three things go into the mail the day before the strike happened, I believe, or at least a couple days before. So I don't know if those guys are going to get their stuff anytime soon. I certainly hope they get their stuff, because there's a reason why a lot of Japanese, like AmiAmi and a lot of Japanese vendors and the club are just basically saying, we're not putting anything in the mail going to Canada until their system's running, because something goes into the system and then the strike happens, or you send something towards a strike-ridden system, you never know what's going to happen with it. It could go anywhere. It could get lost, could get sent back to you at your expense, you don't know. So it sucks right now. But that's our position. I also wanted an excuse to bring up Glios again, because I like that stuff. So otherwise, yeah, that's about it for me. That's it for what we got this week. I just need to take a quick intermission to set up the intricate voicemail machine, because we're going to try doing voicemails again, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready for this? Because I am. We'll be back.
On the Split Sentai Mountain, evil robots want to rule the human side. Exo-Force fighters defend the mountain. Gear up the specially constructed, powerful, and heavily armed battle machines. It's time to man the controls, power up, get into action, and save the mountain. New LEGO Exo-Force.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and it's time to continue our grand Google Voice experiment known as the WTF Hotline. So, guys, are you ready for this? Are you prepped?
Yeah. Woo.
Are you feeling hot? You feeling lined?
Let's get it started in here.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. Okay. So in order to play them this stuff, I will warn our podcasters, as always, that they will hear themselves if they say anything, but please feel free to say anything. Our first voicemail...
Anything!
...comes from Mr. Biatis. He sent this in on February 19th, 2011. And I'm going to play it now.
Hi, WTFW. It's Mr. Biatis with a listener question. If I were to meet any or all the podcasters and strike up a conversation, and if it went on long enough, I would eventually start referencing moments of the podcast, old and or new. Obviously, there are moments that will forever remain lodged in our psyche, like Legends Are for Poor Children and Chuck the Robot. I would like to know how far back or obscure could I go? Would I be able to reference the time Aaron's wife armored the security system without knowing he was in the room? Omega's his fetish for triple prong asses, entries of Doc Dog's journal, Lucas's wants for a masterpiece, Weird Wolf, Drew's eBay haul of Movie One Titaniums and Robot Replicas, Seth calling Universe Prowl Wheeljack, or Vangelis's neuroses about the word hustle. Thank you. Now I look forward to your answers.
Hustle.
That was scary.
Was that him?
I think, yeah, that was. I think he said hustle at the end there. Seth, how's it feel to know that the Legends Are for Poor Children will be forever ingrained in our psyches?
That's fine. I wonder if hustle was a reference to something that none of us are remembering.
Well, no, I'm sure at some point in the course of these 3 years, I've mentioned that I really hate the word hustle. Cause I do. I really hate that word.
So Charlie Hustle was not your favorite football player. He was never your favorite pro.
Drop kick him in his batting elbow. For that name.
What?
In response to this question, as these are weekly conversations that we have had weekly for the last nearly 3 years, I'm sure there are many parts of them that we will not actually remember unless brought up and then perhaps even then we won't remember them unless they're given context. And perhaps even then, we won't remember them because they happened over the course of 3 years. Since this is an unscripted podcast, that means it is even harder to remember anecdotes unless they just happened recently or I think they're funny and thus I keep bringing them up and then beating them into the ground until people take me aside and say, stop saying that. So, in the case of what you gave an example for me, hustle, that's something that extends outside of this podcast because I goddamn hate that word. So I would probably just assume you heard me whine about that at some point. But Seth, if he brought up the time that you got Wheeljack's name wrong, would you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, that's like of all the things that he brought up, I think that's the only one that I don't really remember. The poor children thing. Actually, I think that was a deal of me saying, okay, everyone's got to stop now.
Yeah.
there was at least one time in an Even Number episode where somebody found a reason to say it. And as I was listening, I was like, there was no reason to say that. That didn't have anything to do with anything. Somebody just said it to say it. This has to stop. I don't want to out anybody, but maybe you remember, or maybe Mr. Biatis remembers who it was. What am I going
to
say?
Well, I just because now it's on topic, I do want to say those Reveal the Shield legends are the first legends that really and truly feel like they are not just for poor children.
Good. But, yeah, I mean, there's been some stuff that has happened on the show that, like you said, gets repeated a lot, like Truck to Robot. Yeah, of course we'll remember, but and I think each of us would be more likely to remember something that we were involved in personally. Like if I'm talking to this dude and he's like, "Oh man, remember that time when Lupus something?" And I'm like, "No, I wasn't even on that episode." I'm sure I heard it, but I don't know. But yeah, I mean, people can only remember so much unless you got like one of those freaky photographic memory things, then you win at remembering.
Gog, do you remember that time that I said I was in love with myself and you said, I know. And then I said it to myself in the background and started laughing while you were trying to talk about your new pick.
No, I don't. I didn't remember. I remembered a couple of the things he said, like, but the Wheeljack thing, that's another one that I don't remember the Wheeljack thing. Yeah.
So. But the thing I just described happened actually about an hour and a half ago on this recording itself.
Yeah. There you go.
Boom.
So I'm honored by Addis. I mean, you are definitely when it comes to remembering stuff, you are the number one. There's no one holds a candle to you. So I am honored that you retain that much stuff about us talking about stuff like this.
I forget things I say all the time, sometimes in the span of about an hour and a half. So it's not just a podcast thing. People will say, remember that thing you talked about yesterday? And I won't know what they're talking about until they give me context. So in my case, I don't know. Also, in my case, I'm one of those people who, when I don't immediately know what somebody's talking about, sometimes I just nod anyway and go like, oh, yeah. And sometimes that goes well, and sometimes it goes real badly. So, I don't know. Reference whatever you want to reference. And at worst, I'll make a real bad attempt to pretend I know what's going on. So, thank you for your...
You shouldn't lie to people like that. You should just be honest.
It's pathological.
You should just look at somebody right in the eye and say, I don't know what the F you're babbling on about.
I don't know. I always want to think that somewhere buried in my head, I know what they're actually talking about, and that it'll just pop up while they're continuing on. But then sometimes they just continue on, and then eventually I have to go like, you know what? Actually, I don't think I know what you're talking about, but I think I heard someone else talk about it. And then I leave out the part where it's like, and that someone else is you right now.
Hello.
Anyway, thank you for your voicemail, Mr. Biatis. Our next voicemail is from Tedimus Prime, sent in 3 days later, on February 22nd, 2011. And it sounds like this.
Dear Chris Ho and the other associated podcastians, I was wondering, do you believe there is possible that upon breaking the seal of a new Transformers box, chemicals are released that cause physical addiction? Could this be the source of the sensation known as plastic crack? Also,
I was wondering what character impersonations you mighty podcasters do while playing with a figure or just for fun. I know Vandrix is oh so famous for his Transdeck Shockwave. What does that and these other voices sound like?
So this is Tenemus Prime of the TFW board, just giving you guys a call. Alright, bye.
Alright, well, Seth, what's that Shockwave voice you always use when you're playing with your Shockwave toys?
Usually it kind of goes a little something like, Hail to the King!
I've got a big long stick for one hand, and there's one place I'm going to put it.
I came here to do two things. Chew bubblegum and kick some butts. And I'm all out of butts.
Butts are for pussies.
Why's everyone quiet?
Do or do not, there is no bubblegum.
No, you can't be. That's impossible.
I'm gonna rip off your head and make a duty in your neck hole.
Your neck hole?
Neck holes are for pussies.
This is my boom gun. That's pretty much the voice I use for everything.
Ah, all right. That's cool.
Like when I call the bank. I need more checks to get whores.
Checks are for pussy. I got it.
First question was the smell of new toys. Sorry, Gog, actually, I should be fair here. What's your favorite voice to assume when you're playing with your toys?
No, let's talk about chemicals and stuff.
Okay. So talking about the plastic
those
crack
voices
smell.
Are for Gog Dog's private time.
So plastic crack smell. We all know what it is. Do you think there's some kind of addictive agent locked inside there? You know, back in the day, I would have said that's crazy. And then I experienced a few different levels of plastic crack smell. I mean, one that Seth will be able to relate to will be that 3A paint funk, that anyone who buys a high-end robot will know. Also there's the smell that comes out of a lot of, Bandai Soul of Jagokans, that styrofoam scent. A lot of vinyl stuff has a certain smell to it. Do you guys think there's an addictive agent in any of those, what's another word for smell I can use here? Any of those odors?
It's definitely plausible. It's like today, like I'm bored. Like I got nothing to do. Especially on my lunch break. I go into a store and I see all these toys. I'm like, I'm looking at every one of these and all the ones that are on the shelf right now that I want, I have. And which is a very small amount. I've bought a very small percentage of the movie toys out so far, but there's so many things here. And like I was talking to Counterpunch, it's like, we both buy stuff out of boredom. It's like, we're bored. So I'm going to buy something that I know I don't really want just to have something to fiddle with. And if a few minutes later, I probably won't care about it. And so I'm really having to fight that urge, but that could definitely be explained by some weird chemicals that they put in there. I mean, certainly some figures like Reveltex, when you open them up, you get this plastic smell. And to most people, that would probably kind of smell a little stinky, but to a toy collector, that's like new car scent. Yeah, it's like this smells kind of good. You're breaking this open for the first time. It's like, it's yours. This is all yours.
Yeah.
And I could buy into the fact that there's maybe something that is a little addictive about that, whether it's purposeful or not. But, you know, if toy manufacturers could take advantage of that and it's not illegal, then
And it's
why,
on a leap.
Why wouldn't they, you know?
Seth, let's take this a step farther. What do you think Ashley Wood puts into his boxes? Because they have a very distinct scent. A very distinct scent.
Yeah, and my sense of smell is not the most acute. Like, I'll be in situations where some people are like, oh my God, what's that smell? I'm like, I don't even smell anything. I don't know what you're so upset about. But, yeah, I watched somebody opening up a pop bot to show me, and when he was opening the inner plastic bubble from the box, like, he made sure his face was right there, ready to go, and took a big inhale when he opened it, and he goes, I've had this for a while, but it still has the new smell. And I'm like, I gotta go. I don't know what this is about. But then I've seen tons of people referencing it.
Yep. And the moment I got that Iron Panda, first thing I did was like, all right, what is the smell they're talking about? And I smelled it right away. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, so, and this is the guy that I got the Big Red from. So when I get the Big Red home and I open it up, I'm like, okay, let's see what this is about. Sniff, sniff. Well, yeah, it definitely has a unique odor, but, huh. But I guess it's kind of a thing. And then I wonder, he's like, I've seen a bunch of people write about it, like on Twitter, on message boards and stuff. I wonder how much of it is like one person was just like, I love that smell. And then everybody else is like,
I love that smell too.
It's like the new car smell, but on this thing.
And I was also wondering at first, like, is this just because maybe a lot of these collectors of these designer toys just aren't used to toys, so they don't know that that's the smell of fresh plastic and paint. But there is something very unique about the Ashley Wood smell. I think it's the paints and inks. I heard
and
that in
also
some...
also the Hong Kong air.
Yeah, I'm breathing a nice big whiff of SARS. And feeling all good.
Oh, speaking of toys carrying disease. So, I'm playing Halo with some dudes. And one of them was board-wise. And I had a thought. Like, so there's the BotCon sickness that went raging. Everybody got sick.
Yeah.
But not everybody.
The Euros were safe. A
bunch of people got sick. Yeah. But I started thinking about, of the people that I know who got sick, everyone that got sick either came in direct physical contact with or was in proximity for a long period of time with that Doctor Who box set board-wise brought for me.
Hmm.
Everyone that touched that got sick. Everyone that was in the same room with it for a long period of time got sick. Except for the Europeans. So I accused board-wise through Halo of bringing some weird UK virus disguised as Doctor Who.
What did he have to say for himself?
He didn't deny it.
I'll deal with him later.
I didn't deny it. And then Mech Bratters, used to be Twin Twist, was like, that sounds like something he'd do. I'm like, you would know, I guess. I don't know.
Mech Bratters is probably in on it. That dude is all like, I don't know. I'll get them. So thank you for your voicemail question, Tetimus Prime. We got one more question to end the podcast, and this is a multi-parter from Mr. Yui Gob on YouTube, who sent this in around about the same time as these other listener questions. His question reads, quote, Dear Vangelis and the rest of the WTF at TFW crew, hi, I am YuiGo1209 from the TFW 2005 boards. I want to give you some questions. If possible, can you let both teams answer it? Again, I leave that up to the other teams to deal with because we got too many questions and I'm going to forget to mark any of these for both teams. So, for now, we'll just do this odd style. Question one, which masterpiece you guys like the most? Why? Only Takara versions are counted. Also, Optimus must be the perfect edition, and Rodimus is only the one with the trailer. Please consider price, possibility, looks, and etc. Only the perfect edition! So... Gog, what's your favorite masterpiece?
I really like the Seekers.
Why?
The Seekers have the best hands of any mold ever, I think. I think the plane mode is great.
The robot mode is great. I could have done maybe without the hip kibble, but I usually just put it vertically against the legs and it doesn't bother me. Never really had any desire to do any mods. I haven't felt like it needed it that much, but yeah, I think the Masterpiece Seeker mold is fantastic. I like it better than Megatron. I like it better than Prime. Maybe close to Grimlock, but I think it pushes out Grimlock because I like how much more intricate it is, and it was also way cheaper.
Yeah.
So I'd say maybe aesthetically Rodimus, but Rodimus has too many little quirky problems, I think, to make it more of a favorite to me than the Seeker mold.
Alrighty. And Seth, what about you? What's your favorite Masterpiece?
Grimlock.
Why?
Even if he's smaller than some and less complicated than most, I like that his transformation is basically the same as the original with some more detailed steps in the mix.
Mm.
I think that is a cool way to go about doing the whole Masterpiece thing of, like, let's take basically what it was and just upgrade everything. And I just think he's fantastic. I have two.
Whoa.
But one is American, so it doesn't count. Not, according to the rules.
Not in this question. Yeah.
In this listener question. And it's kind of a bummer that he would put restrictions on which Optimus Prime, because that would have been awesome if we all chose different Optimus Prime.
I like the one without the trailer, because it's simple.
Yes, and it was first. I prefer the American one, because the long smokestacks are a hazard. And I don't want to hurt myself. It's a toy, not a weapon.
Well, with all that in mind,
your weapon.
I really wish I could say that my favorite one was Rodimus. But until I know more about the second release of him, he's not, for the various reasons that we've talked about before. I'm kind of in a weird position, because you guys both named, in my opinion, the best two, and I don't know. I think I
just agree with one of those, then.
I've had more fun.
I have to choose one that nobody else chose, so I'm going to choose one that I actually don't like, just to be different.
I choose Radio Movie Masterpiece Bumblebee. Because everyone loves Bumblebee. I'm going to have to go with the Seekers, because I think I've had more fun with the Seekers than with Grimlock. Just overall. I don't know. I like Grimlock, but there's something about the Seekers that I just, as a package, I think I've had just a touch more fun with them than Grimlock. There you go. I don't know how to really articulate it any farther. I think maybe it's because I like the jet mode a little bit more than the dinosaur mode. That's about it. So, that's where I am. Question number two. Will you pick up United Cup that's shiny? Why will you, or will you not? Seth, will you pick up shiny United Cup?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want to have to buy another iGear head pack. And I'm watching my waveform on GarageBand, and it's a super bummer. Every time I barely touch this headset that I'm using, it's putting all kinds of noise onto the recording.
Aw.
So every time I've like had to scratch or move the microphone up when I'm not going to be talking, so I'm not just breathing on it, is making all kinds of noise.
And that's also why you won't be picking up United Cuff.
Also, yes.
Yeah,
I'm very upset about not being able to record well.
Gog, what about you?
No. I actually, for a short time, I had the Autobot e-hobby set pre-ordered because I thought that I wanted it and kind of decided that I didn't. I like the American Cup. I don't see any reason to change. Not for the price. The United version is a little more G1 color accurate completely, but I am completely satisfied with my $11 cup. I don't see any reason to pay 3 to 4 times that amount for a slightly different color. In some cases, maybe I can justify that, but nah, I like the American Cup just fine. I have no reason for me to get another one.
In my case, I don't want it because I saw pictures of it, and then I saw some in-hand reviews of it, and it has the same problem that so much of United has in the cases of the ones I don't want to buy, which is it's got shiny paint, but not enough shiny paint, and everything just looks super patchwork, and I'm not going to pay $30 for super patchwork. I'm already still kind of bummed about how United Scourge turned out, and everything I heard is that the problem I have with him would be the exact same problem I would have with United Cup. Also, I just don't see why Cup would be shiny. He's too old for that. He's outgrown that kind of shininess.
I'm proud to be an American, where Cup's $11, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and not have shiny paint.
Question number three. Will you buy a Transformer if you need to build it? Why? I mean, like Gunpla Zeta Gundam, but super durable. Gog Dog, will you buy a Transformer if you need to build it?
Creo?
super durable. Yeah, I guess technically I have with the Creo. Well, no, as anybody who's been listening knows, lately I've really been into model kits and stuff, so I'm definitely not opposed to model kits at all. I think they're pretty rad, especially the new Kotobukiya stuff. The only thing that has me turned off of those new Transformers models of the movie are, number one, their movie designs, which, you know, that's fine, but for the price, which is, they're kind of expensive, I don't know if I can justify spending that much on models when Kotobukiya, again, is offering stuff that's really fun to me for much, much cheaper than that. So, absolutely, if they offered inexpensive model kits of Transformers or something like that that I'd have to build, then absolutely I'd jump on it. But the current ones that are out now, for the price, that's the one issue that's kind of not allowing me to purchase those at this time.
All right, and Seth, what about you? You want to build some Transformers?
Yeah, now, was he saying kits that transform, or just any sort of, hey, you put it together?
I guess just
we're
anything.
We're busy over here. You put it together. Yeah. We got other stuff to do.
Something where you buy it, and then you need to build it.
Yeah. Maybe if they paid me.
Oh.
Now, like, with those kits that are out now, like Gog was saying, that Bumblebee is really tempting. Just because it looks pretty cool. But, you know, it is expensive. And if somebody came up with a transforming kit, that would be kind of interesting too. But, yeah, if it was more detailed and more poseable than what you normally get, that's interesting to me. Like the way the Reveltech Transformers so far have been interesting. Mm. The way the upcoming movie Prime Reveltech is interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. It would just have to kind of see what it was in reality instead of hypothetical town.
All right. Well, moving on to question four, which is as hypothetical as you can get. Which character will you add to the Prime cast? Why? Seth.
Oh, crap. I was hoping to have a second to think about it.
But, actually, you know what? I forgot to answer the last question, so think about it while I answer the last question. I would totally build a Transformer if I had to buy it and build it, because I already have done that for non-Transformers that I bought and then had to build that also transform. So, I am not opposed to that. Although, nowadays, I tend to be a little more averse to buying model kits because I now have a psychological need to film everything I do when I build model kits, and that makes it harder to do them, so I should really stop doing that. But that's my own neuroses I have to deal with. Seth, have you thought of an answer for question four yet?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll put Gears in there.
Hey!
Because the Gears would just be like being all grumpy and a downer and be like, ah, it's all... stupid. I can't stand this place. It's dumb. And then Raph will be like, hey, Gears, you should cheer up once in a while and be happy. And Gears will be like, well, you got to be happy about it. Your family doesn't even care about you.
And then Raph is like, oh, I guess you're right.
And he's like, I got my parents. It's all, shut up about your dumb parents. They're stupid anyway.
Well, I guess I'll go to the cargo. I'll go to the Arctic. He just walks down to the cargo bay and starts pretending he's in the Arctic. Then Gears follows him. What are you doing? I'm pretending I'm in the Arctic. That's stupid! You're stupid!
Gears comes back with a snowball cannon.
Here's your damn Arctic! Hey, Gog, who would you add to the Prime cast?
Soundwave, because he's not in the show as it is.
Oh. That hurt.
That's why the hub is going bankrupt.
Let's not start on that.
Leave it alone! What's one of the ones I always say? Mr. Biadis! They can't hear me.
Spream?
Yeah. Show me Grimdark Transformers Prime Spream. He's got a tragic backstory and blood on his hands. Actually, I want to see what Frenzy and Rumble would be like in Prime as they relate to the Soundwave who is not in the show. That could be kind of cool. Final question, question 5. Which weapon from a Transformer would you find creepy? What is a creepy Transformers weapon?
None of them seem particularly creepy, at least of the ones that already exist. I mean, I guess Cliffjumper's glass gun is confusing, but
it's confusing. I'm so confused, it's creeping me out.
I just realized this might have actually been Do You Find Crappy? Given that there are...
Oh.
No, I don't... It could be either way, because of the way it's spelled. I think we should stick with creepy.
Okay. Gog, what do you find creepy?
Kiss Play Legion.
That was mine!
Well, you should have gone first then, because that's legitimately creepy.
Well, I think that Beast Wars Cheetor and Tigatron's like intestinal cannon is pretty creepy because it's a missile launcher water and gun thing, and it's got his intestines in it, and it's his tail, which implies to me that he's basically just taken the digestive system of a feline and he has attached a handle to it, and when he pulls the trigger, it squirts stuff out of the back end. So that's not cool. That's actually pretty messed up.
Yeah, maybe any Beast era a body part turned into weapon is kind of creepy.
Well, Cheetor and Tigatron was the one that actually had intestines sculpted on it, so that one's even creepier to me. Like that one's
kind of gross.
And it's a water gun, and it's shooting out of his butt, so basically the barrel is the rectum, and it's like, why would you do that? It's not Ultra Gear. Ultra creepy. Mr. Yui Gob goes on to say, thank you for answering my questions. P.S. Hong Kong's Transformers line is just on Generation Wave 1. It's been 5 months without new Transformers. Sad face. This was back in mid-February. I hope the situation has improved over there. So thank you for your questions. Thank you all for your questions. Before we go, I should mention that I did not get around to watching The Hangover yet. So unfortunately, the user listener requested... comparisons between a certain role in Dark of the Moon and a certain role in The Hangover. We'll have to wait until next week. That's my fault. I lost track of time and I dropped the ball on that one, but I will get on that! Also, there's a commercial with Optimus Prime shooting a basketball out of his gun, which is pretty fun to watch. Have either of you guys seen that?
No.
A basketball
but
team...
But I will want to say, by the time we have our next show, Dark of the Moon will be out.
Next odd number show, yeah.
Yeah. Post-Dark, it comes out on, I believe, Wednesday?
Next Wednesday.
At least in America, there will be Tuesday night showings, I believe, midnight showings.
Before the next podcast period. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, with the exception of Primetime, but yeah.
Yes, yeah. Well, actually, no, we're going to have to move Primetime to Wednesday because Tuesday I got a thing I got to go see. So.
What about Sunday?
That's just ludicrous. No! Sunday, I can't do podcasts Sunday. It's too tough. I tried doing a podcast on a Sunday before for HJU, and it went like improv class from noon till 2, run home, do podcast, then run back out to see the improv show. So it was
When did you have time for church?
I didn't.
Oh, man.
Don't tell Brian Savage that.
Oh, man.
Speaking of things to reference, I kind of miss auto-tune Brian Savage. He was still my favorite thing from BotCon.
If only the real Brian Savage was as hilarious.
Maybe
if my mix board comes back, token Brian.
That's how we know he's on the podcast. That's kind of wigging me out. We were talking about this in our last Primetime recording, which we did last night. About how, it certainly isn't a case where there will never be another movie again, but this era of the live-action movies will end next week, because the last movie will come out. And
wasn't there some crazy rumor that
there was
Spielberg was thinking of directing Wanderers?
That was just wishful thinking.
Yeah, it was basically Tyrese saying, hey guys, well, you know, I wouldn't be too worried about it because, you know, we already got Spielberg and, you know, he might do it. And that was literally it.
Spielberg's already attached. Wishful thinking.
Yeah,
you exactly. Ask anyone who knows movies and the first thing they say is, I really can't imagine Steven Spielberg directing a movie about transforming robots fighting each other. And I kind of agree with them. Like, I don't know how that would go, but. You never know. But
maybe who knows? Maybe it'll turn out interesting.
They'll all shoot at each other with their cell phones and walkie-talkies.
Come up with some interesting new take on it and do a reboot, and then all the Bay haters can have something new to glom on.
Then they'll all talk about how much better it was when Michael Bay was doing it, and this new guy's destroying their movie childhood. And
yeah. I mean, when people started talking about it, it just felt like after The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
When there was this big movement of people going, maybe George Lucas should let Steven Spielberg direct a couple of these. It's like, oh, that's probably never going to happen. Because there's no way Lucas is going to be like, hey, Steven, why don't you show me up? Why don't you take my ass to directing school?
Why don't you take my precious franchise and take it away from me forever?
Yeah.
But no, I'm kind of anticipating with some positivity the post movie world we're going to be entering in about a week. I mean, like, it's not going to be like an overnight swap, but you know, it's going to be the start of the post movie fandom, and there've been tons of theories as to what the post movie fandom will be like, and. I was saying on Primetime, I think it's really helping that we have a good show on TV right now to carry on with doing some actual Transformers media. But think about it, you know? Soon the movie forum will be a thing of the past. Can you imagine that?
Hopefully there'll be less screaming at monitors while
we need to make episode 153 a thing of the past. Because it's 2:40 a.m. I need to go to bed.
That's a good point. This is behind the scenes. This has been a very long recording for a lot less of what was actually recorded.
Yeah, I was joking earlier that this was going to go until 5 a.m. and we're almost at 3.
Okay.
Putting this aside,
thank you, Gog. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, the various powers of be that strike at Seth's home each week as we come together and... tune in.
There's a definite element trying to keep me from being on this show.
Tune in next week when we enter the post-Dotem, post-Bayformer, post-everyone-hates-each-other, post-childhood-raped, post-movie era of the Transformers fandom and of WTF at TFW.
I...
traitors, and they're here to stay.